いらっしゃいませ。
And welcome to the 8-4 Play Podcast. Your first, only, greatest, best, last, until the end of time podcast about Japan and games and Japanese games. I am your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. With me, we have a very special cast today.
We do.
Some special guests.
It is special.
Not special.
Okay, yeah, let's go with the not special ones.
He's always here. A man who recently, in a huff over NeoGAF comments regarding his Swedish accent, canceled the sequel to his award-winning Robin Hood game before realizing that he has yet to make his award-winning Robin Hood game.
I'm just really happy that you remembered the Robin Hood game.
That is JJ.
We all remember it.
Shaka Khan Epperson.
Shaka Khan.
We'll never forget.
Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
I don't know why you were tweeting about Shaka Khan.
Because I found out like there's this Google Chrome plugin that lets you access like Netflix and stuff like that if you subscribe, of course.
Yeah.
But it also lets you listen to Pandora Radio. And I was like, okay, I want to listen to some Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then, like, I was listening to that. And then, like, Shaka Khan came up. And I was like, fuck Shaka Khan.
Exciting.
Yes. You're like, that's right.
Dude, Shaka,
that's right.
Shaka is beast. Not, like, physically, but, like, talking about her singing.
Also okay. Beast, across from JJ. A woman too nice to throw away her ex-boyfriend's dirty socks even 2 years later.
Oh my god, Mark. I was wondering what my nickname is going to be.
Hiroko Pai-chan Minamoto.
Pai-chan?
That's right.
Why Pai-chan?
Because you brought delicious apple pie
back.
And it's also a Virtual Fighter character.
Right.
It works on a lot of levels.
It's Pai-chan, not Pai-chan.
Okay, yeah. Pai-chan.
Yeah.
But Pai-chan-chan, right? That's what you're trying to say?
Like, yeah.
Pai-chan-chan.
Exactly. Pai-chan-chan. Yeah.
Okay, Pai-chan part is fine, but did we really need that description?
What? I am just saying, that's being very nice. What are you giggling about?
I'm just, the whole situation is very funny.
What the hell you think is so funny?
Yeah, tell me.
Should I redo your nickname?
I think you should.
Your nickname?
I just, you know, I think it's probably more just Hiroko just didn't have time to clean, that's all.
I don't think that's it. That's not it.
Oh, okay.
That's not it at all.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I'm backing away from this conversation.
Yeah, you should.
That's right.
Like right now.
I'm going to start making backup nicknames for you, KJ, just when you get out of hand.
Times like this.
Yeah, exactly. Next to her, special guest, involved with friend of the show, Mr. Ryan Payton, his special lady friend.
Involved.
And special. Also
special.
A worker here at 8-4 for the last couple months, here to chime in on a game that none of the rest of us have played at all. A woman who is wanted by Child Services in the state of Washington for 2 counts of feline abuse.
Agreed.
That is Nozomi Aida.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I'm Nozomi.
Thanks for coming onto the show.
Maybe you should explain the aunt in between first name and last name.
Yeah. Do you want to explain? You can explain it in English or Japanese.
Yeah, please do it.
Okay, well, Nozomi and Ryan have 2 cats.
Yeah.
And they are terrible, terrible parents.
No.
And kind of terrible people. Because
terrible people.
Their cats are allowed to do whatever they want and rewarded for bad behavior. For example, when a guest is staying in their apartment.
Mr. Mark McDonald.
When an important guests are staying in their apartment and doors are being shut constantly because these special guests are allergic to cats. These cats, anytime, middle of the night, whenever, fucking run right into the room the second that you open the door. And the reason is because they've been trained that every time when somebody comes home from the apartment, they open the door, the cats run out into the hallway. They don't know what they're going to do. They're just like running out into the hallway because
are they welcoming the guest?
Yeah. They're not.
Such cute cats.
They're making the guest panic and drop groceries trying to, even the owners of the apartment, trying to keep them in the apartment so they don't fall down like an elevator shaft or go on an adventure.
It's dangerous.
Like fucking Toy Story adventure or something. It's very dangerous.
Very.
And it is bad. However, instead of giving them the proper you know, reprimand, which is, as we all know, the power word.
Power word.
Yes.
The rune.
I apologize to any dogs or cats listening to this because...
Or anyone with ears.
Right. Yeah. They're like freaking out right now because they're like, oh shit, I did something bad. What is it? If you train your dog or cat to hate that word and to fear that word, yeah, which I started to do over my 2 weeks in Seattle, I did my part.
Traumatizing the cats.
Then the cats,
poor cats,
from then on, do not come near the door when you are coming in. And the wrong behavior is to go and get the cats and then pet them. And, oh, hello. Oh, I'm going to reward you for being a terrible, terrible pet.
No.
Yes. And give you unconditional love. Like, that is just wrong. That is bad and wrong. And so I'm glad we got a chance to tell, to let the world know way in great detail about this.
Yes.
So as a result of your stay, the cat hates you and is terrified.
The cat actually doesn't. I think the cat has grown to respect me and actually likes
really?
Me more, yes, than
is
Ryan.
Is respect in the cat's eyes?
Than Ryan or Nozomi. I think they both... Both cats, actually, I think. You know, they want discipline. They crave discipline.
They crave discipline.
Right? Like a child, JJ. Like your Jackie's child. And rounding out the cast, a man bent on destroying the world's precious natural rainforests, one Zelda figurine at a time. That is John, low stakes Ricciardi. Vanilla Coke was his backup.
Yes,
not about his kiddie pool that he
Vanilla Coke lover. No kiddie pool.
No.
Are the player one guys okay that you stole their shtick, or do they know that we're...
What are you talking about?
Your descriptive thing with everybody.
They stole my shtick.
Oh, I see. Like 300 episodes ago.
They just happened to do it first 300 episodes ago.
I see.
Yeah.
But what did you call me again?
See, I see. I figured this way you get an option of one or the other thing to talk about. Whatever is more interesting.
I like
interesting.
It. I don't know if they like it.
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
So how's it going?
I'm low stakes. I guess. Does this have to do with
drinking
the bet that I didn't
Coke.
Want to make? Or?
Yeah, drinking the vanilla Coke that you love.
New to Japan, vanilla Coke.
Is it? Yeah, it's back. Well, I think it was here before once, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Coca-Cola vanilla here, but...
But you don't like it, right? Or
I don't
you,
hate
do
it.
Do you like it?
That's why I bought it, because he doesn't hate it.
He doesn't hate it.
Yeah, that's about your backing out of the bet once
this,
once
this
the
is,
stake
we're not
came
even
going
to do this on the podcast.
What bet is this? JJ, I'm glad you asked.
Oh. He's going to spin it to sound like he was right in the first place, but he basically like told me that...
Speaking of me being right, listeners of the podcast, let me just quick aside here, might remember some Doubting Thomases chiming in around the Killer Instinct segment about who was playable or how many characters would be playable or, do we really know what we're talking about? Blah, blah,
yeah.
Mark, I don't believe you that... Jago is the only playable character.
I'm pretty sure that I did not involve myself in that
so
conversation.
All you can do is
I think you were
Jago
both involved.
If you download the game.
Yeah. You get one character for free. You're downloading a fighting game for free. And then the other characters you have to buy.
You're downloading a bad fighting game for free.
Anyway, we don't know that. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't
we
good
don't
before,
know that.
Was it? I mean...
So the stake
I mean,
bet.
We don't know that. What about that like 20
totally
minute rant you had? In
totally new developer.
Last
no, I said nobody cares about it. I didn't say it was a bad game.
I
said it's a game nobody asked for, and I totally believe that. I don't know if it's going to be a good game or bad game. I don't even know if I can judge, to be honest.
So I guess John was wrong, or.
John was wrong.
Okay. I said it must be like two or four characters.
And
like
there's something else that I can't remember that I was right about last podcast. But I get that those moments where like throughout the week I hear something and I'm like, oh, I knew it. And but then I don't write it down.
Maybe a listener could tell us what it is.
Please educate us. Or when
we
I'm wrong,
turn that into
people
a
certainly
segment.
People certainly educate it. Who was right and wrong? I actually do want to do a flubs and snubs, but we come up with a better name for it than that. But some segment where we correct stuff, preferably at the end of the podcast, where we have an intern listening to the podcast and correcting us.
We should have interns like on the fly, just like researching everything we say
every
as
fact.
We say it.
Then I'll just start throwing out fucking crazy ass facts, like facts. You know,
right?
Pikmin for GameCube only sold to like you know Hispanic single mothers, you know, in the state of New Mexico, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
The state of Mexico.
Prove a negative.
Right.
Anyway, what the hell were we talking about? Oh yeah, the stake bet. Long story short, I said that you know to Cheapy D, I believe in Cheapy D. Cheapy D was right about some the shipping and cost thing about getting an Xbox One
in 2 days.
PS4
in 2 days.
To be fair. I said that Cheapy said this deal, which is 2 days up to 4 days if it gets in customs. There's 2 days for customs. And it's like, I said $12, it's $13. But I said, whatever Cheapy said, I believe is the actual thing. This is getting...
Isn't it $20? I'm pretty sure it's
$20. That's the 360. That's the Xbox One. So, John, I believe you said, and I quote, this is a friend of the show, mind you, Cheapy D.
Oh, now he's going to try and like throw me under the bus with Cheapy D.
Cheapy D is full of shit.
Yes, if he said that you are going to get it in 2 days, because you're not going to get it in 2 days.
Dude,
first of all, just to be clear, we're in Japan, remember.
This is fucking Cheapy D, man.
Overseas. There's no way that, unless they're shipping it before launch, you're not getting a PS3 for like $12.
Dude, that shit isn't
in 2 days.
So that shit isn't made in America, man.
But that's why it was a crazy deal, because it was like something
about...
Because
it's from the imagination world. Well,
hold on. That shit's coming from Taiwan, man, and it's coming from Michigan.
It's something about...
2 days plus...
Before they know what it's going to weigh, they charge you like some flat fee or something, but you can get locked in on that. I don't... Cheapy knows how these things work.
Mine is $18.99, which I still think is really cheap for shipping overseas.
Your PS4 or your Xbox One?
Both
of
them are $18.99.
Okay.
Yeah. But they charge import fees too. I don't know if you actually, they're like possible import fees they add to it too. But.
Okay. Well, we'll see. The reason this came up is because we were talking about, okay, are we going to buy one? Somebody was asking us if we were going to buy one. We're like, yes, of course, we're getting both of them. It was more a question of whether anyone was going to be in America when they came out, or whether we were just going to buy them here.
Right.
That's basically the only
stuff
question,
we gotta think about living in these third world countries.
We
don't get video game systems first anymore.
I gotta figure that shit out. Yeah, but stuff we do get early and did get early was Pikmin 3.
Yes.
Which we talked about extensively last episode.
Mm-hmm. Which you bashed the shit out of.
So
hater. Such a hater.
Okay. I can't believe you.
I got some feedback that I was.
Yeah. We all love
mistakes
that
were
game.
Made on this podcast. I'm not saying by who.
Right.
No. Okay, listen. I stand by everything I said. I have finished the game since then, as I said I would, and I'm now playing the English version, as some of us are.
Are you playing with the Wiimote?
So I have not yet. However,
you're doing it wrong.
I have. Let me start off finishing what I was saying to begin with. So I think one of the things that happens that I hate, and you know, I said things that I think made it clear where I stand in terms of you still have to buy this game. I give it an 8 or something, but I feel like I spent the whole time talking in opposition to you, JJ, because you were just like, "Hey, everything's great, everything's fine," and I was kind of like, "Really?
It's your fault, JJ.
Like, what about this? What about that?" So, but I felt like it ended up sounding a lot more negative. Anyway, whatever.
Well, we tend to do that. I don't mean we just us, but people
tend
to focus on the negative stuff.
Podcasts,
right?
Because it's like, especially with games that you expect to be good, it's like, well, the good parts, you know about it. And I think I said a lot of times, Pikmin 1 and 2 had the good parts of this game in it already.
Yes.
So I didn't spend a lot, especially Pikmin 2, which had the kind of the multitasking aspect starting off.
Mm-mm.
So, but I do still stand nothing that I did in the last level of the game, which without spoiling anything is different than the rest of the game. I think we said that last episode.
Mm.
Nothing really changed my views one way or the other. I stand behind what I said, but I do want to reiterate that what I said was, I think I said I would give it maybe a 7.5 if I was on the EGM scale. If you own a Wii U, it's a definite buy. It's not the game to me that would sell you on a Wii U. It's getting really positive buzz. JJ, you were really high on it, but John, and to clarify too, you asked about the Wiimote.
Yeah.
So I watched a video. I played I think I only played Pikmin 1 with the Wii control.
Okay.
But I have played Pikmin with the Wii control, and you're right, it is a totally different thing.
It's like, I felt cheated after playing the game with the Wiimote. I was like, why didn't I do this to begin with?
Just the Wiimote? I heard that you need a nunchuk to
The Wiimote and the... You need a Wiimote, Pro and a nunchuk.
Okay.
Really? You need
a Pro?
It
has to be a Pro?
I'm pretty sure you need a Pro.
I'm pretty sure you don't.
Really?
Yeah, that would be weird.
Where are the interns?
Someone looked that. But I played with the Wiimote Pro, and it was just like, because
here's the difference.
We ended up playing multiplayer,
right?
Me and my wife, and she was on the gamepad, and I was on the Wiimote, and it was just like the difference was just like clear from the get go. At the beginning of the we played the bingo thing where like you have a grid, like a bingo card, full of fruit and enemies, and you kill them and bring them back to your base. And then you get a bingo or whatever.
True.
And at the beginning of the the match, she'll always be like going out into the field looking for extra Pikmin.
Yeah.
And like usually your onion or your home base or whatever will be surrounded with little flowers with the little numbers on them, you know?
Little flowers pellets that you can bring back.
And here she is just like going one by one, like, okay, aim, throw, aim, throw. And I'm just like walking over there, pointing A, just like one after the other, pong, pong, pong.
And
like,
you could be walking upwards and pointing downwards and throwing guys kind of behind you. And then immediately you're pointing up to the upper right corner, throwing two guys. Immediately you're pointing in the lower left corner, throwing two guys.
With incredible accuracy.
Right.
Okay. It was
night and day.
That is my frustration. I only played 2 days worth of Pikmin, but like I'm using the Wii U mode.
And you mean the Wii the gamepad.
The gamepad. And I'm a little frustrated.
Wiimote is...
You got to do... Yeah. So I watched they put up like a high-level play video.
Oh my God.
On Nintendo Japan. And it's like... what mode is that it's in? It's not the single
that's
player.
That's the mission mode.
Okay.
The kind where you have to like gather things in the stage for points.
And this guy's like doing shit, first of all, that I never thought about in terms of like... The Pikmin get objects close to the onion, and then he just calls them back anyway and has them do other shit. And then it's like, that's brilliant. Because like later on, they're already near the onion. They can just bring it back the rest of the way. But you might as well just gather all this shit at once.
Right.
Anyway, that's where I was kind of reminded, like, oh yeah, like I really should have been playing this with the Wiimote. I also think, just from watching, and I'm curious if your experience bears this out, my problem that I had with enemies in 3D space, floating, flying enemies... Yeah. Would be easier.
Oh, so much
to target.
Because that
was a big frustration on my part. Not that often that it happens. It's like one boss.
There are a couple of key enemies too that were just really annoying to fight.
Yeah,
but with the Wiimote, it's nothing.
And just being able to know, you know, you have to move your reticle, and it's like, okay, now it's moving up over here, and now it's moving down here. But here, you're just like point, boom, boom, boom. Throw one, throw two guys, and then also the swarm command. I realized from that video, I was just not using that.
Yeah,
I was just, that was a huge mistake.
You mean when you hit the B button and just like let them all
you can point them in a certain direction and then they'll all just like go to it.
What do you hit to make it happen?
I believe
is that
you
available
have to,
on gamepad.
You have to focus on a
object
item or whatever, and then you like use your thumbstick
and then
or
hit,
something.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Is it up on the thing or something? I couldn't. I tried to.
Yeah, and that was
the
thing. I don't know if you can do it on the gamepad. It may be like a Wiimote thing. I don't know,
because I saw that happen in the video. I'm like, holy shit, this changes everything.
Yeah. Because it was something you could do in the earlier games, I think, with the C stick.
So the C stick,
you could
move your guys around. That was something that people really missed, and I did too. You could kind of control the snake of your Pikmin and just have them move them onto things like that.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time, actually.
Right.
You mentioned
it. Yeah, exactly. And it played the little as you did it, which was awesome.
So JJ, when you're playing with the Wii Remote, do you put the gamepad on the stand and then like in front of
I don't have a stand, but I just have it kind of near me. And if I need to move things, like I'll just put, because like when you touch the screen on the gamepad, it pauses the game immediately.
But is it constantly asking you to like go to that screen, like every time you pick up a little yellow piece or whatever? Like, is it because, you know, like when you're playing normally, you have to go down and look at the screen.
I just remembered the other thing I was right about.
Oh, God.
I just remembered.
Go ahead.
When you get fruit.
Yeah.
Every time you get a fruit. A new type of fruit.
Yeah.
Or an object, right?
Right.
The game scans it,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like interrupt you.
It doesn't?
No.
How does it not interrupt you?
Because it's just another episode.
It's just gonna span another episode. But it just says like, we got a new fruit, but it doesn't like stop your game and be like, hey, check this out every single time.
Okay.
Because you for fruits and stuff, you find out about them at the end of the stage. That's like the whole.
So anyway, the screen, the gamepad screen, like you have to actually interact with it if you're holding the nunchuck and the Wii Remote, because that seems to me like it'd be a bit of a pain in the
you
butt.
You kind of do. I mean,
so you like put something down and then like touch the gamepad.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, really?
Essentially.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not. I don't think it's too often, and I don't know.
So what did you think of the? Well, I guess first of all, John and Hiroko, you guys have just played it for a little bit, each of you, but just a couple days each, I guess, right?
I just finished the first 2 days, basically. And I haven't played with the Wii Remote yet. I wanted to, but I realized after I started the game that my Wii Remote wasn't hooked up to my Wii U. And there's probably an easy way to do that, but I don't know what it was without like getting out of the game and like, you know,
like it wasn't synced.
Sync it up, whatever. And right. I didn't want to get out of the game and do all that over again. So I just played the first 2 days with the gamepad, but next time I'm going to use the Wii Remote.
Hmm. But so what did you guys think?
The first 2 days is not really much to give a really good feedback on the game, right? It's Pikmin. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's really pretty.
I'm really happy to be in that world again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got hyped just starting the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're super cute, and the animations are really nice, right. And like the game looks really good, but there's nothing that really happens in the first 2 days. It's like extraordinarily new or complicated
just
or anything.
Stuff still, I guess. Mm-hmm. You don't even have the three characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, two of them.
I just rescued the girl, Brittany.
So you're even further than I am. Yeah, I mean, I was at the point where...
That was the end of the second day.
Well, you can do it or not. It depends how good you are.
So clearly, Hiroko is better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Answers that question. Okay, well, JJ, you played Challenge Mode and you mentioned Bingo Mode.
Yeah.
What's the quick... We talked a lot about the game last week, but just because we didn't get into that stuff. I wanted to play that stuff too, but I didn't get a chance to.
Bingo is pretty fun. You're like constantly jostling for position. Like you can... You can send out your Pikmin because the Pikmin will fight amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Like if you send your Pikmin out towards your, you know, the person you're playing against, Pikmin, they'll like fight and then die get sent back to base and stuff like that.
How does it determine? Is there like a pecking order? Like rock Pikmin beats red Pikmin?
I actually don't know,
yellow.
But there is kind of a pecking order with the, like if their flowers in bloom or not like that.
Right.
Those guys are obviously stronger.
Sure.
But, like, you know, there was an instance where me and my wife were both going after the same fruit, and she had gotten to it before me, but I was able to, like, come back around because I had more powerful Pikmin and just, like, I unleashed the Kraken on her.
Yeah.
It was an orange and then won the thing. It was really fun.
That sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And so I usually hate split screen gaming, and I still think this game is kind of excusable. It doesn't have online. However, I do think in the bingo mode, just thinking about it, it's interesting because you're seeing what the other person's doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that becomes a factor, right?
Right.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. So actually, there are two things about that. Like, one is just what you were saying. Yeah. You can kind of like, and I was doing this, and well, she was too, but like, just like, you know, she's like, oh, I found this, you know, thing. And I'm like, where is that? I'm looking at her screen, just like, oh my God, what's going on? But the other thing is that, and this is the, you kind of have to put like house rules in place. On the gamepad, you can see where all the fruits are.
Okay.
And if you've got the Wiimote, you can't.
Oh, shit.
So, like, I was like, don't look at your screen.
Is that, like, an idea is to give it to the weaker player that so they have
right.
more of an
well,
idea?
Well, I think that there is, like, a definite, like, person who's playing with the Wiimote probably has it easier.
Well, yeah, then you're already at a natural disadvantage just
right.
having the gamepad.
Right. So they give you that little bit of an advantage, but
you should be able to turn that off in the options or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but I was just like, don't look at it, and she didn't. And she still won a couple, so.
That's cool. What about challenge mode?
Challenge mode is what we've been pretty much playing the whole time because my son has just like play this over and over again.
Right.
And like my wife has gotten so good at it. She like got a gold medal in one of the get the fruit things. And like,
are they all pretty much the same structure? Are there different missions?
Well, there are three types. There is the one where you I think it's just getting fruit, and then there's the boss rush mode, and then there's the one where you have to like just kill enemies or get fruit for points.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But like, you know, there's this one snow level that we play a lot, and you have to use all three of the characters, and you're just
the same levels from the single player.
No, they're completely new, redesigned.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Stages, and like, so like, you know, you really have to use the three characters to their like fullest. You have to be just like constantly switching and multitasking and stuff like that. And I think that's like where the game really started to shine in that respect for me, is like watching her do it and just like, you know, go from getting just like a bronze medal and then like, you know, trying different things and being like, oh yeah, I've got to send this guy over here first.
Like that part of the game, and it was like this way in Pikmin 2, but it is not times three, it's like times 10 when you get into those things where you're actually using the three people. I didn't feel like the single player game made you have to use it that much.
Right. And
however,
yeah.
I saw when you finish it, it shows what other people have, how many days they've finished it in.
I saw some dude finished it in like 14 days.
What? That's wow. Like,
so like he must have been doing crazy shit. Yeah. I cannot even imagine. Right. Like, so I'd be really curious to see those videos.
Yeah.
The one I could find on Japanese YouTube was a guy who finished it in 18. Damn. And he's doing a lot of cool stuff
right.
Too. But like that's one thing I'll be interested to see now is there's definitely tons of replay, tons of speedruns. Yeah. I mean, I still only have, I finished the game and I think I have, I forget how many I ended up with, but like less than half, I think.
I was like 44 fruit.
Yeah, that was around, I think it was at 50 maybe. How many was there total? Do you remember?
66.
Oh, wait. Maybe I was more than half, but yeah. All right. So anyway, any other last thoughts on Pikmin? The localization's good.
I didn't get that.
I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Like at first I was totally like different. This guy's speaking kind of like stiffly, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's okay. That's just like his personality. Mm-hmm. Like all the characters are distinct and unique and da da da. Basically as much as you'd expect.
Yeah.
As good as you'd expect from the Treehouse.
They named the pad after the planet in the English version. I forget what the planet name was, but it's like the Koo pad or something like that. Or Copad or whatever.
Copai is the
Japan is the G pad, isn't it, or something like that?
But yeah, the G pad is what it is.
It's pretty nice. But that's to be expected from Nintendo. So.
You guys gonna keep playing it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Cool. Okay.
Well, I haven't had time to play much of anything.
My son won't let me sell it. So
I saw the picture of him crying at the end.
Yeah.
Did you get the bad ending? Apparently, there's a bad ending and a good ending.
Really?
I saw somebody tweet. Well, I still haven't seen it either.
then maybe I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Then there might be more than one ending. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like everybody dies or anything at the end.
Mark,
it's just
he has an innocent heart.
Yeah.
Well, why was it? I don't. Without spoiling anything in the ending.
He just same thing, exact same ending.
Right. Yeah,
but
he just
the
didn't
want to
say.
Different.
He just didn't want to say bye to the Pikmin.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
that is amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything more. Yeah. Let
but
people
he
it,
cried
but.
Twice.
That is hilarious. And he looked miserable. It wasn't like a cry where it was like, oh, like I feel. He just looked like he was in like anguish.
My wife was telling me over the ending, he like started to make the face where you're like, and then like when it ended, he just started like going like he just ran over to her and was like, oh. Pikmin.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So cute.
Power of Pikmin. All right. So moving on, Nozomi, why don't we we've brought you in as our ringer to talk about Gyakuten Saiban 5.
Yes.
Otherwise known as, in America, it's coming out, download only, as Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies.
Dual Destinies.
A very long title.
Is it not 5? There's no 5 in the US?
There's no 5.
Interesting.
Digital only in Q3, Q4. Because I think they didn't name the other ones, so it'd be weird for them. Or number the other ones. Dual Destinies because it's got both Phoenix Wright and Apollo Justice in it.
Not because it's on the 3DS that has two screens.
That's right.
Yeah.
Of course not.
But Nozomi, so we wanted your honest, unvarnished opinions. As somebody, you are a huge fan of this series, right?
Yes.
You're a big fan.
Yes.
Played all of the games up until
now? Yes. I have been playing all of the games.
All of
them. Did you finish? Times,
right? Yeah. Several times.
Several times.
Several times.
Including
the Layton one, right?
Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright and Professor Layton,
also.
Right? Okay. So why don't you tell us, and you can do it in English or Japanese, whichever you prefer. JJ has offered to be the interpreter.
Hi.
Interpreter. why don't you tell us like what you liked, what you didn't like, what's different from the other games? Like, what do you think? You haven't finished it yet.
Yes, I haven't finished it.
Okay, but you're close. You're close
almost,
to the end.
Almost finished.
Almost
really?
Yeah.
So tell us, what do you think?
I think, of course, it's good game.
Yeah.
And good point is.
Plus, you have notes, which I was super impressed.
That's
which makes you more prepared than anyone else on this podcast.
Who does that remind you of, by the way? Who else comes to this podcast with a notepad full of notes?
Because my first time to join.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah, that is great. A
little bit full.
You don't know who I'm talking about?
No.
Ryan?
Oh, that's right. He does.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that.
True.
That's right. All right. So, yeah. But so what do you think?
Good point.
Yeah, good points.
Oh, I don't know why I like Phoenix Wright, but I like everything except this time Naruhodo's voice.
That's Naruto knows Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright's
voice.
Yes,
Phoenix Wright.
So they changed
Did they change his voice?
Pardon?
Did they change his voice?
Yes.
Really?
I think so. Like suddenly, Gyaruo voice.
How to explain Gyaruo? Gyaruo are like the Japanese equivalent of a Guido. Let's just put it that way.
Because like I think Naruto. Kind of? Oh, yeah. I mean, like
a host. You think of like the big peacock hair and the dark. Yes. Like I've been to the tanning bed 100 times.
Why don't you
times.
Make the picture, the image, the giant bomb image of this week?
Okay, that's a good
number
idea.
One host at like a
club. Right. His name is probably Yaro. Akira or something right. like that.
Sony Hikaru.
Yeah.
So what else? What else?
The
gameplay. Like, how is the gameplay? What's it like?
I like. I don't know how can I say.
日本語でもいいよ。
あの。裁判の出てくるあの witnesses が好き。
Oh, she likes the witnesses that show up in the courtroom battles.
Crazy and always like a, they are making mistake
right.
and confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Mm.
So the writing is good in this one too. The writing and the voices and stuff like that. シナリオの writing とか
音声はすごい。Voice acting also okay except.As I said, なるほど。
Right.
なるほど。
Yeah.
あと、あれはシナリオはこう、ライティングとか。
ライティングもすごいいいと思うし、なんか、そうだね。うん、全部好きなんだけど。
She likes the writing, but overall she likes everything.
うん。
だけど、but
。なんかなるほどに思い入れがあるから
Yeah, so there's, it's different. So she has a lot of feeling towards the original Phoenix, right? So because of that, the changes feels awkward to her. So that's the stuff that she doesn't like.
Right.
Why?
I'm just saying, like, Hiroko, you're so awesome.
Bear in mind, too, though, now, like, this is... could be specifically pertinent to the Japanese version only, right? Because once it gets localized, it could be localized the same way
sure.
all the other ones.
That's
yeah.
true,
so
that's
Westerners
true.
May not even notice these things.
But. Right.
Yeah, so how Nozomi is feeling about this game is that a lot of people who has been playing the whole series, there's stuff that you feel nostalgic about.
Right.
So people who has been like a player of the whole series can enjoy this, but also it's created in a way that people who just picked this game up, this one up, could also enjoy.
Yeah.
So she thinks it's a really good game.
So basically, if you liked Phoenix Wright before, you're going to love
the
shit out of it.
Or if you're new to it.
Or if you're new to it.
So my question is there anything different in terms of how the game plays?
Oh, yes.
There is.
Mm.
And is that, what is that, and is it good
What's
or bad?
Different?
Oh, because...
So there's a new function called the smile function.
Mm-hmm.
So actually there's a new character in the game called Kokone in Japanese. But so she could hear people's voice from their heart.
Their
I guess.
Inner voices.
Their inner voices. So let's say a witness is making a witness.
Like they're giving their testimony.
What do you...
Testimony?
They're giving... Yeah. Their testimony.
Yeah.
Cross-examination.
Yes.
Yeah, and let's say they are hiding something. Then this Kokone character can sense that this person is hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
So this Kokone character will give out signals, which is the smile function, the smiles.
It's called the mood matrix in English.
Oh, okay.
The mood matrix.
The mood matrix. So yeah, and then you, so you see the facial expressions, and if you see something that's conflicting with the thing that the witness is saying,
yeah.
then you could see okay, there's a conflict, so I should look into it.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a supporting function.
Ah, right. okay. Mm-hmm. So does it work well? Is it good? Is it bad? What do you think?
Oh, it's good. Very interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Okay. Mm. Any other big differences, or is that the big one?
あとは、ライティングが追えるようになった。So,
ゆっくりになったの？
テキストが、うん、すごい多いから、
うん、
でも、何言ってたっけっていうのが、前、調べることができなかったんだけど、ボタンを押すと、
yeah.
なんかこういう、
調べることができる。Oh, so you can see like a history of all the things that have been said in the past.
Right. That's cool.
That's really
helpful. Kind of like Fire Emblem, or there's some games that do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess that makes the game easier.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it would be, yeah. Mm-hmm. So where would you put it? You're not finished, but if you had to rank the Phoenix, the Gyakuten Saibon games, the Phoenix Wright games, where would this game fall, like, you know?
First, second, third, fourth.
今まで自分がプレイした逆転裁判シリーズの中で、この今回のこのゲームは何位ぐらい？
I think, to be honest, 5?
Last?
Really?
No, I mean, maybe 3. Oh, 3 or 5. Mm. Not top.
How many?
Not
there have been like 7 or something, right?
Including Kenji.
Including
version?
Like, oh, yeah. Leighton and the, yeah, the and the other guy. Yeah.
Right.
I think 3 or 5.
Well, there's definitely been 5.
No,
right?
I think she's saying like it would still fit in
maybe
three,
four.
The third.
Oh, you're
four.
Saying so this is the rank.
Yeah,
you're saying maybe third.
合計で何本ぐらい出てるか覚えてる シリーズ? 10本ぐらい?
そのぐらいかな?
Maybe eight, around 10.
Yeah,
8-ish, I think. In total, but so third or fifth.
Okay.
Wait, how do you, why third or fifth? Like, wait,
so why not four?
Happened to four?
Yeah. Because she hasn't finished it yet, so it's either, like, pretty good
it's definitely
or...
definitely not four. This one is definitely four, no matter what happens in this game,
it's
not going to be four.
Five.
Right.
Yeah.
Four is bad luck in Japan.
It's true.
It's either third or fifth.
It's true.
So it sounds like sort of in the middle of your... Mm-hmm. Not your favorite, not the
yes.
your least favorite, mm-hmm. sort of in the middle. What would be
Maybe.
Your favorite,
mm-hmm.
and what would be your least favorite?
Oh, because I like not 3DS version.
Right.
I like DS version.
Yeah.
Like
the
2D,
older ones.
Yes, mm-hmm. older ones.
So your number one favorite is which one?
逆転裁判 3.
3.
Phoenix Wright.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then your least favorite.
I think 2.
Really?
Really?
More than you hated it more than the Leighton one?
Oh, including Leighton
yeah,
one.
Yeah, including
I
the Leighton
think,
one.
I'm sorry, Leighton.
Leighton one. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I agree. The Leighton one is the worst.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, and I remember you saying, like, oh, yeah, like after Professor Leighton, which was a mix of the two, it was going back to this. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, this is better, right? This
mm-hmm.
is just Gyakuten Saibon
yes,
is better.
It's
a better
mm-hmm.
way to do it.
Mm.
Okay, cool, awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks for the world first opinion on that game. The straight from the Japanese.
I think we could say like
first.
The world first like
That's
podcast.
It. First place anyone's ever talked about it
ever.
Yay.
Yay! And in Japanese, no less.
Capcom.
So let's see, what else do we have to talk about? John, speaking of Dual Destinies.
Okay.
Mario and Luigi Dream
Team.
Oh
yeah, I almost forgot I've been playing that. Yeah, Mario and Luigi. I guess it's just called Mario and Luigi Dream Team in English. It's Mario and Luigi RPG 4 in Japan.
Right.
Fourth game. What was the other ones? There was the Bowser's Inside Story and
the
they were all really good games.
Yeah.
This whole, like the whole thing kind of confuses me. Like it's like a separate thing from
totally
Paper
separate from
Mario.
Paper Mario.
Yeah.
This is made by Alpha Dream, who are one of my favorite like little sort of JRPG developers. They made this game for Game Boy Advance called Tomato Adventure. Never came out in English.
Yeah.
And I played all the way through it in Japanese and I loved it. It was really charming, like they
for
have
what
that sort
system?
Of for Game Boy Advance. They have this sort of like earthboundy kind of. I don't know. There's a game on Super Nintendo called Paladin's Quest that I really like too for this, but it's got this sort of charming like pastel. That game is really good, dude. Don't.
Here
Marco's hating on games.
Rose-colored nostalgia glasses
right.
Did you ever on
play
that
it?
One. Yes.
All right.
Yes, I played fucking everything for the Super Nintendo, dude.
I finished that game. It was really good.
wow.
Because I could see past the graphics. Okay, I'm not a graphics whore. anyway, they make really charming games, and they have really good writing, which is not that common in Japanese JRPGs. Like, they're bad, but they have really good writing. So I've always liked.
Well, they have really good writing in English.
In English, well, the English is fantastic.
Right.
The English in this game, I don't know who like the different people are that worked on the different games at Nintendo, but I think it way better than Paper Mario. Like, it's a lot more funny. I mean, it could just be that the source material was better to begin with, but it's just really funny. Like, there are so many scenes in the game where you're just like laughing out loud at, like,
when you say more funny than Paper Mario, you mean like than the last one? You must mean, like,
Sticker Star just came out a couple, whatever, 5 months ago or something. Okay. Yeah, this is way more interesting and fun than Sticker Star was.
Is it as talky as like the previous Paper Mario?
Yeah, there's a lot of talkiness, and there's a little bit too much hand-holdiness in the beginning, more than I remember from the previous games. But, you know, basically what the deal is they go on vacation to this place, the Pillow Island or whatever it's called. It's spelled differently, but it basically sounds like Pillow Island. And, you know, the pillow people or whatever that were there are all gone, missing or whatever. And you basically end up entering into the dream world. Like, Luigi goes to lie down on this, like, rock thing, and it turns out to be this, like, mystic pillow thing or whatever. Then you can go inside his mind. He has, like, he lines up his wavelengths with these people or something, and you can basically enter his dreams.
Right.
And when you do, Luigi's face is on the bottom screen, and you and quote-unquote dreamy Luigi are on the top screen. It's like Luigi's like what he sees himself as, which is like a superstar, basically, right, version of himself that Mario and Luigi are playing as. And it's like side-scrolling levels. You know, the regular game is like the old-style overhead view RPG stuff. You know, you can jump and stuff. But these Inside the Dream sequences are all side-scrolling. And Luigi gets different powers. I forget what they call them, dream powers or something, where you can, like, for example, one of the first ones you get is if you tickle his nose, he'll sneeze, and it'll blow objects from the background into the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's, you know, one where, like, you have Dreamy Luigi, like, enter into a background object. It's a tree. And then you can pull his mustache on the bottom screen and, like, grab Mario with it and then let go and, like, fling him up to, like, a higher platform or whatever. Well, there's, like, all these, like, cool mechanics you can do with this feature.
Is there, like, arcadey platforming going on? Are you, like, jumping on enemies and dodging?
No, like, once you jump on an enemy, you enter into the battle mode just like any other, like, like, regular thing. I don't know why they did it this way. It's just probably to change it up. But, you know, and the battle system is like that kind of classic. That's just one thing where Paper Mario kind of crosses over a little bit, because you're still doing the, like, tapping the button at the right time,
right?
And you're hitting on the enemies and stuff. But the battles are way more varied in this one. There's, like, all these different kinds of ways to dodge enemy attacks and stuff. Sometimes, like, it'll suddenly turn into this thing where you're running towards the screen and the enemy's coming from behind and you're, like, jumping over fire bars and stuff. Like,
wow.
The battles are really varied and really fun. The boss fights are hard. And the story is just really, you know, it's really funny. Like, the pace is really good. It keeps going, and there's constantly funny stuff happening, so you want to keep playing. Yeah, I'm like 8 hours in or something, and I feel like I barely scratched the surface. I heard the game's really long.
Graphics look good, like visual style.
Graphics look good. Yeah, this is one of those games people were complaining about at first, when they first saw it. Yeah,
it's like kind of pre-rendered-y.
It didn't look like Mario. It didn't look like Mario vs. Donkey Kong-y at all.
Not really, no. Okay. It's like, the thing is, you know me, I don't really see 3D well, but they do, it's all sprite-driven, but it's, like, in 3D, so it's basically, like, stereoscopic, like, sprites, which I don't know if anyone's ever even done that before.
Stereoscopic,
like,
sprites.
Yeah, like, they're doing, like, they're hand, like, animating all the stuff, which, so it probably looks really amazing in 3D, but I couldn't tell you. But even in 2D, like, the animation is insane. Like, these guys must have spent half the time in the development just doing all these animations, because Mario and Luigi have, like, all these different animations. They interact with each other and the other characters. They talk to each other. Whenever these crazy things happen, they're not just reusing animations over and over, and there's, like, different animations for, like, every event and stuff.
Nice.
It's really, really well done. So yeah, I really like it. I've only played, like, 7 or 8 hours so far, but I'm totally gonna play more.
Cool.
It's cutting into my Animal Crossing time.
Oh, finally. So, how's that been going?
Still playing, like, an hour a day.
He got a new book with a bunch of AR codes.
I did. I bought a book. So my friend is actually the director of this game. I've known her for years, and I had lunch with her the other day in Kyoto, and she told me about this book that they put out in Japan, where Enterbrain, the guys who put out Famitsu, made a book of just basically, like, QR codes of that you can, you know, you read them in the game, and you can bring this stuff into your game and then use the patterns and stuff. And the really cool thing about this Animal Crossing is you can take these patterns and drop them on the ground.
Is there something else to the book, or is it just a book?
Yeah, there's
QR
whole, there's
codes.
A whole, there's the whole half of the book is just a bunch of crap I don't care about. It's like
what
showing all different designs from the game and stuff, and, like, all the different things you can
get. Like an art book.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. An art book showing in-game assets. But then the backside, it's got all these really cool 2D pixels.
Oh, yeah.
Pixel art that they made. And you can go in the game, and you can just grab your designs and drop them on the ground and essentially paint your entire town to look however you want. You can make, like, you could take a town from Dragon Warrior, for example, and lay out your entire town to look like it by making these arts. So your town can look incredibly rad and totally customized. And I had seen in her town, like, she had some really cool streets and stuff. So I was like, okay, I want to do this. So I bought the book, and I'm messing with it now.
How much did that book cost?
It was like $12, I think.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I mean, you can go on the internet too. Tons of Japanese sites have, like, because you can make QR codes of whatever you design in this game. So there's already QR codes all over the internet like this. But
so you don't have to buy it.
No, but these are like professionally made, like really good looking ones. So I just, you know, I wanted to get them and check them out. I love that game.
Are you still playing it, JJ? No, I haven't played it in like half a year.
Oh,
yeah. It's so
good. You never got into the US one.
I think I sold it. So
let's see.
I'm hardcore. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like looking up, you know, what, like, for example, today was July 31st. Got to check out what bugs and stuff are going to be gone for like months after today. Because they, you know, at the first day of the month, they change stuff.
Sounds like a job, man.
It is kind of like a job, but it's just a fun job because it's kind of why it's like fun to play.
Yeah.
And everyone's playing. So that's, you know.
That seems true for sure. Like, yeah. And it's selling really well, which is awesome.
Even Jon Snow's me is playing.
Jon Snow is playing. And my God, the hater. Yeah. Fucking Tomodachi Collection hater, our friend here. Well,
that's been it. Otherwise, stuff I've been playing is stuff that we're working on. So yeah. We won't be talking about for like a year. We are working on some cool shit right now, though.
That one game that, like, you know, has the art and stuff.
That game with the art?
Yeah.
Speaking of games we worked on, I think Tales of Exilia is out next week.
John's just not doesn't want to talk about Dragon's Crown.
Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, I was like shifting gears completely.
Dragons. I don't want to hate on it. I have no reason to hate on it other than the pricing. Can I just get that out of the way real quick?
Sure.
Just tell people how much it cost here.
It cost me $72.
For one version of the game.
For one version of the game.
Which version?
This was the PS3 version.
You got the PS3.
This game was announced, and it was like, yeah, it's going to be $30, and you can pay $30 for both of them.
They came out and said at the time when it changed hands that, what? We didn't hear that. Yeah. Like, they made that up. Ignition totally made that up.
Right.
And it's not going to be that much. And how much does it end up being in America?
It's the typical full. It's
America, it's either 40 or 50. It's not. I think it might.
Oh, you know what? It is 50.
I mean, it's expensive.
It's 50?
Yeah.
The problem
is a little
way easier to swallow.
There are other games
still a lot, though. Yeah.
There are other games that are in the exact same thing, though, where they're like, they made the PS3 version, they made a Vita version, and they let you do the cross-buy, and it's cheap.
No cross-buy.
No cross-buy. So in Japan, if you want both, $140. Our friend of the show, James Milky, confessed he bought both versions.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's like a lot of money for one game. One 2D side-scrolling, you know, hack 'em up, whatever.
Fucking beautiful.
It is.
So yeah, so are we done talking about the pricing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's why I haven't bought it yet. I'm waiting for the US version.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm only getting one.
How about the game itself?
So yeah, the game is, well, I mean, where to start?
D&D,
basically,
which the George has worked on before.
Right. George Kamitani worked on the original two D&D games for the arcade, Shadows of Mistara and the other one I can't remember.
Yeah.
And
that kind of basic style.
Right.
Except with like skill trees
and loot.
Weapons.
Yeah, basically weapons, armor. There are like special potions that have.
Are you getting armor?
Yeah.
Does it not?
It doesn't show up on your character. Weapons do, but the armor and stuff doesn't, which is unfortunate, but whatever. It's basically 2D Diablo.
Okay. So are random enemies just dropping chests and items, like random drops?
The enemies don't drop like regular items, but there are treasure chests throughout the stages that when you unlock them give you a random grade. So like E is the lowest grade and S is the highest grade. Yeah. And any chest can be from like either E to S, and it's just completely random. So you unlock several chests over the course of the stage, and at the end, you know they show you the amount of chests you got and all the grades you got, and then they show you all the loot you got.
Okay, so you don't know until at the end of the level.
You don't know until at the end of the level, and then they're all like unidentified.
Yeah.
So you have to go in and identify each item to see what you got.
Okay.
And that costs money.
That costs money. Okay. Yeah. So you can't just do it to everything.
Right. I mean, you can if you have the money for it, but it's stupid because a lot of stuff is just throwaway.
You're getting money and experience with every enemy you kill, basically. Right. Experience is gaining you levels, which are tied to whatever character you are.
Yes.
And you gain levels and what? Do you put your attributes into different... Do you put different points into attributes?
Right.
There's a skill tree that are attacks like Dragon's Dogma?
There are no attributes that you're putting skill points into, but there are skills, and there's like your class skills. Like, I'm a dwarf, so there are the dwarf skills, and then there are like
common skills, I think is what they call them, which are just like, you know, skills that all the characters have, like, you know, give it a little extra life when you pick up a piece of food or whatever like that. And then, you know, each level you get and each subquest you complete, you get a skill point. And you can use those skill points to kind of customize your character in various ways.
Like how?
Like, I mean, you know, I haven't put a lot of points into the common skills, so I don't have like a lot of good, you know, just buffs in general. Like, I don't get extra points when I pick up food. You know, I don't have right. like very high life points or anything like that. But I do have a lot of points into my character skills. So like, I have like a really fucking badass body slam.
Okay.
And
wait, do the is that just something you unlock and once you have it, it's there, or do you level up?
Each skill has several levels that make them more potent as you use them.
Okay, so there's some skills that are specific to your character class
yes.
and some skills that are just universal.
Right.
And I'm assuming, like, you know, they all have different attributes to begin with. Like,
right.
this character is weak against, you know, not defensive, but right. more armor or more offense.
Like, the Amazon has the least amount of health amongst okay. all the people. But, you know, like, they do that because as she kills enemies, she gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And, like, she turns into, like, a one-woman killing machine.
I would like to see a psychological study done on... what your Dragon's Crown character, what Dragon's Crown character you choose says about you.
Right. Well, you know,
like how it correlates
surprise,
to other key things.
The most popular player online, the most popular character online is the elf.
So
wait,
that,
really?
The funny thing yes. is.
The elf isn't the one with the giant crazy boots.
No,
like,
that's
the
sorceress. She is the lowly.
Oh, that's the sorceress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The elf is the, well, kind, I mean, honestly, she's like the most tastefully clothed
right.
and just kind of a cool looking regular character.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing about that is I think she's probably going to be, might end up being the most popular character just period. Because
does she look like she's 8?
I think she's just like maybe 16 through 18.
People want to, you know, look at and ogle, I think, the some of the other characters,
right.
but they don't want to be them. There's a difference between wanting to see it on screen and actually wanting to
play as
them. Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to play as the Amazon, but I just couldn't do it in front of my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
But she's just got like giant hips.
Right. But she's cool. Like, as her character is cool. I like the way they designed like her systems and stuff like that. But like, I went with a dwarf because I usually pick.
But the
like,
Amazon is still too much for you. You would be embarrassed.
My wife was making fun of.
She was
the whole time.
Really? Did she see the sorceress?
She saw the sorceress and she just was like going off. It was
yeah.
it's funny, but at the same time, I just couldn't do it. But
right.
I, you know,
the dwarf was like your inner Sega child, like bringing back memories of Golden Axe.
Basically,
probably.
Yes.
Curious.
Like, it was either going to be the Amazon or the dwarf, and like I, for some reason, I don't know why, but I always end up playing old men in games that I play. Like I play Shundi.
That's
and,
true.
And,
you do that in
interesting.
And Bunch, yeah. The dwarf is like the by far the least popular character online.
Right.
I have yet to see another dwarf. In fact,
so you have been playing online, which you have to unlock.
Yes,
it's not there from the start, which
right.
is retarded.
There is like some sort of reason. I mean,
retarded.
Like basically,
well, I thought the levels are tuned for multiplayer.
Yeah, they're harder.
Not that that's an acceptable reason, but
you get to a point in the game where like they unlock these B routes. So each stage has an A route and a B route, and the A route's like the easy like single player stage, and the B route is the harder. Multiplayer stage.
That's
kind of
cool.
They have like gimmicks and stuff like that. There's this one boss where like it comes up, you see it like halfway through the stage and it starts chasing you and you have to activate these switches to like it emits an aura that lets you actually attack the boss.
Okay.
So there's like someone like goes and hits the switch and
so
then
it's not all just hack and slash. Is there much of this kind of like, you know,
well, the A route stages are pretty much just hack and slash,
okay.
but the B route stages you kind of have to work together a little bit.
Co-op kind of
yeah.
stuff. That's okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So in other words, but why couldn't they just make the B route stages available from the get go and just let them be multiplayer only?
Yeah.
Like, why did they have to make that unlockable? That's just weird. Why?
I mean,
why did you let them do this?
I don't
JJ?
Know.
I'm sure.
I don't know. The thing is though, because like when you get to the point where, because each stage starts the same, like the first screen or two is the same, and then
yeah.
like you get to a cutscene. Or not really a cutscene, but you meet a character.
Are there a lot of like cutscenes?
Well, they're not cutscenes so much as they're like there's like a image of a character who is like breathing really heavily or in some sort of really provocative pose or whatever. Like,
oh, really?
There's one where it's this woman in chainmail and like her legs
so
are just
defenseless
like
here.
Spread eagle, and she's like holding this glowing rock or something. It's just it's funny okay. because like there are some like butt naked women in this game, and surprisingly, my wife has not been looking at the TV every time those have come on.
You like look around.
Like there's a mermaid
time.
That's just
I've
like
seen the mermaid picture.
Butt naked.
Yeah.
But anyways,
well, what's a mermaid supposed to be wearing? Like a trench coat,
a vest, like a shell a bra, raincoat. Like a Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Anyways, so you like get to that, and then. As a group, you will pick route A or route B, and so who you know.
Oh, so you can still do route A as a group.
You can, yes.
Okay, I bet you their explanation would be as you ask them. Well, people don't know what they're doing when the game starts, so they have to play single player to learn it, and then
bullshit.
Which we all know is stupid. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
So how tell me how the game plays both as single player and as multiplayer. Is it something where you're like, yeah, I'm bored playing single player. I'll only play multiplayer.
I pretty much only play multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I would like it more if I had someone I knew who to play with.
Play local multiplayer.
And with voice chat.
Right.
Because, you
or
know.
On Vita. On Vita.
On Vita. Yeah, that's the thing.
Wait,
like,
can you on PS3 play with people on Vita?
No.
Oh.
There's no crossplay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's lame.
That kind
you
of
cross
sucks.
Saves, but no crossplay.
Yeah, you can just transfer your character. And
right.
Then transfer your character.
Wait,
transfer
so like
character.
You can save your progress in one and then just pick up where you left off on the other?
Right. Yeah, that's correct.
But you can't play between the
it's
two
really strange,
online. Man. Okay, so are you finding lots of people online? Are you generally in parties of four all the time?
Yeah, always.
Really?
Yeah. It's really quick and easy to find a game. I haven't had a problem yet.
Japanese users are probably super nice and cool.
Well, I mean, there's not like everybody kind of has their own thing, so there's really
there's no
like,
running
give
the
and
treasure
take.
Chest that only there's only one or something. Right. Everybody gets everything.
Oh, really?
The only thing that I've found has been a point of contention for people is like who gets to activate the runes. So in each screen, there's a set of runes written on the wall. And you yourself also carry a set of runes that match the ones on the wall. So, like, you have to take... Usually it's only two on the wall. Sometimes there's one. But you take the two runes on the wall and match it with a rune that you have. And it spells out a certain something. And it gives you, like, a bonus. Like, you'll get...
Only you? The person who does
no, the
it?
Whole... Everybody in the stage.
Oh.
But, like, some people know... Because you kind of sometimes have to guess because you don't know what the combination is going to be.
Yeah.
So, like, some, you know, some idiot will be there, like, sitting there for 15 minutes trying to figure it out. Whereas, like, you know, some people will just go... And then it's done.
Mm.
So that's been the only part where it's just like...
There's no selfish gameplay system in the game that rewards people for being a dick to somebody else in terms of I get there first, I'm the only one who gets it, or I'm the person who kills who gets the lands the final blow on the boss.
Yeah,
I get
there
more
a score
experience.
Maybe or something
there
or?
Is a score, but it's a score that's shared amongst all people in
weird
the, there
okay.
is no like
I think that's probably good. I mean that definitely I mean there's a fun element to that sometimes right but well, yeah. Can you damage each other?
I think you can't like damage each other, but your attacks will like hit. Yeah.
Pause.
Can you all be on? You can because there's things you can mount, right? Like
yes.
I don't know, dragons. And
usually, there's only like two mounts on at once.
That's what I was gonna say. So there's never like all four characters on a mount at the same time.
Not really. No.
Slowdown? Any slowdown?
No.
Cool.
Not on the PS3 version. There, I played a little bit of the Vita version because Chris Kinigi had it, and there was some slowdown.
Yeah.
But I honestly like. Slowdown aside, I think the Vita version is the version to get.
So that's what it just looks better on that smaller screen.
Well, it looks better, but there's like a key gameplay system
right.
that is just much better on the Vita.
What's
the, so like I was saying about the runes, they're in the background, as well as there's a whole bunch of like random spots in the background that you can point to that will give you extra score.
What do you point
based.
With?
You well, John, I'm glad you asked. On the PS3 version, you use your right analog stick to move a cursor around.
How do you know? Is it something like a sparkle?
They, yeah, they spark. sparkle. Okay,
so what's it like? For example, you'll see like a candle sparkle, or what?
No,
you...
it's just like a random fucking thing in the background.
It'll be like a brick.
So you move sparkles. You'll like move your cursor around and be like, oh, there was a sparkle there.
Hopefully, yeah, you're not seeing everybody else's cursors, right?
No, you are. But that's really? Actually kind of cool.
Wait, really?
Because you can just like see people trying to like frantically do things. It's not that's not too annoying.
Okay.
The annoying part is just having to do it in general. At the beginning, when I first started playing the game, like I was just like OCDing, like, okay, I've got to get every fucking thing on every screen.
Exactly, right.
But eventually you kind of learn to just tune it out, and you know,
only if you notice a sparkle.
Yeah, if you notice a sparkle, you'll get it. If you don't, whatever.
For example, like I'm just trying to understand this. So if I see other people's, do we all see the sparkles in the same spots?
And it's a shared score. So if the sparkle comes out and someone clicks on it and the little trinket falls down and somebody picks it up, everybody gets that point.
Oh,
those points.
Oh, okay. So once one person hits the sparkle,
right,
it disappears for everybody. A trinket pops out.
Yeah.
And then somebody picks it up. Doesn't matter who. And so, you all share.
Right. And so in multiplayer, it's actually pretty okay because everybody's trying to get everything.
Right. But in single player, okay, I can see how.
And that's also how you open up chests, but that's also like they're huge and they're not hard to aim at. But
on the Vita, you're just tapping.
Right. On the Vita, you're just using your finger, which is way easier.
It sounds a lot better.
Yeah. So like
on the front or back or both? Or
on the front, because you're just pointing at things. But yeah, I'd like totally the Vita is probably the way to go.
Interesting. That's that annoying that you would rather play.
I just think
that
I think it was a game that was just made for the Vita.
Huh. Right.
Because that system just doesn't really make much sense.
Do you regret not being able to play it on the way into work and back too? Right?
Yeah. Because that is definitely like it's not, I mean, as beautiful as it is and as great as this music and everything is, it's definitely like the game itself is definitely one you want to play in maybe short bursts.
Right? That's how I was looking at it. Yeah. I was like, I mean, a lot of people have been talking about on Twitter and stuff like that have been just playing the crap out of it because it's now just come out and they're like big fans. Obviously, they spent enough money to buy the Japanese version. And everybody's enjoying it. But when I look at it, and I played it just briefly at E3, as much as I'm excited to get it and to play it, I feel like I'm going to have to play this thing a couple levels at a time or I'll get real sick of it really fast. Like even a good playing game of that system.
Right.
And even like with your character progression and stuff like that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, the loot does carry it a bit. Like, right. When I first got it, I was like pretty much just like, oh, God, gotta have more.
Right.
But eventually that kind of
wears
off.
Any game where you're just beating up on stuff as the main thing, no matter how good the fighting systems are, to me, I mean, that used to really be able to hold my attention.
Right.
It doesn't really in long sessions anymore. It's like...
Totally.
45 minute to top sessions of that kind of game. Now,
fighting has to be
hour.
Really, really good in order for that to stay interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Or if there's really interesting co-op stuff happening, like, you know, we have to both really be in sync to kill this boss or something like that. That kind of stuff I can see myself
there's,
getting
I mean,
into.
It's not that kind of thing isn't really prevalent, but I mean, there are hints of it.
Prevalent.
Yeah. It's the same word.
All right.
One thing about the multiplayer that kind of I like a lot is that so you have to basically at the end of each stage they show everybody how they did and they give you the option to keep playing or go back to town and sell whatever you got or just like basically cash out.
Real quick, are you on a map or when you say go back to town?
It's just like there is a town, but it's just like it's a stretch of road with shops and stuff on it.
Right, but I mean, are you on a map progressing from one level to the next in a branching tree?
There's a circular like map, and you like each stage is just laid out in that circle.
Uh-huh.
And like I think it's just picked at random when you're online.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
But or like the host will pick or something like that. I think you could do either one.
Weird.
But
in single player, you're going through a level and then unlocking like two different ones you could choose between and then so on and so forth? Or is it just there's a path of
when you
levels?
Get to that point, basically you go to the one stage and then you'll have the two routes. And in the single player, like you'll every time you finish a stage, a new stage will unlock, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Oh, but, so you're saying the route changing happens within the stage?
Within the stage.
Yeah. I see.
But I'm still not understanding. There's just one path through. I mean, there's the A and B versions of something.
Right.
But there's only one... it's not like a, you know, Darius or something where it's like, okay, now I finish this, now I can either go here or here. And if I go here...
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
It's pretty linear in that respect.
So every time you're playing through it, you're playing through the same level.
Yeah, you'll finish a level, and then you'll see everybody's score, and you can either continue or cash out. If you cash out, you get all the experience points, money, and items that you got over the length of your play session.
Yeah.
But if you choose to keep going... you get certain bonuses, and the bonuses are like, you know, a percentage to get a high ranked item or extra experience, extra gold.
So it's rewarding you to keep playing.
And if, as you keep playing, those percentages keep going up and up and up and up and up.
Okay.
And, the kind of like, you know, you would think it just rewards people who sit there and play all day, but you can't actually do that, because each of your items that you have has like a durability rating. So, like, as you use it, the durability goes down and eventually breaks.
You can't smith it or something.
You can. I mean, when you go back to town, you can fix it.
Oh, right. But you can't if you continue on and without going back to town.
So, yeah.
I see.
So, what they do is, like, they'll give you, you start out with only, like, one pack where you can have a set of equipment. But as the game progresses, you can buy more packs. So, you can have, like, four backpacks with four sets of equipment. Okay. So, like, you start out, and then you, you know, you have one set, and then it breaks or whatever, and you can get the second one, and blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, I thought that part about it was really fun. It was very much like got to get one more. Oh, because it shows you, like, if you do this, you know, your percentage will go up this much.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a little carrot dangled just out of reach.
Yeah.
Right.
I
thought that was good. But, like,
that is smart, but I wonder if that would make me almost resent it, because it's like, you know, I'm burnt out on it. I mean, am I unfounded? Do you not? Does it not become repetitive
at all?
Oh, no, it does.
It does. And the second half of the game is pretty much just a grind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're still enjoying it.
I mean, I am, but, like, it's starting to wear off.
Yeah.
You're going to sell it back soon.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it back soon.
How much have you played it so far, would you say?
I'd say about 75%.
But I mean, how many hours?
Oh, maybe 8-10 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're happy with the purchase? Like, it's a JJ, boom, guaranteed
for
recommendation.
For $50, I would be much happier about it. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. That's a steep price tag, but.
But yeah, no, like, if you are a Guardian Heroes fan, I think this game will be right up your alley.
I heard that name mentioned with...
Obviously, it's not as good as Guardian Heroes.
Okay. The gameplay is not.
Yeah. And I mean, just in general, but, it's still, you know, a worthwhile purchase, I think. And the online is fun, so.
I was never a big Guardian Heroes guy.
I just don't. Sometimes I don't understand you.
And I even, like, gave it another shot when the re-release thing came out.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Nope.
All right.
But I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
I do think I need to be playing it with some friends.
Yeah.
And,
local co-op, I think this game would be pretty fun.
I think I'm going to get the PS3 one, because as much as the touching thing does sound way better, like, it just, this is the kind of game where I just feel like I want it on my giant TV screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's true. How does it look good on the big screen?
It's so beautiful.
Some of the screenshots of that game, I'm just like, holy shit. I mean, the bosses.
Like, it's funny because, you know, in the second half of the game, they reuse a lot of assets.
Oh, they do?
That yeah.
That's
but
a bummer.
Well, I mean,
it's like palette swaps?
It's like vanillaware. No, I mean, like, some screens are the same a little bit. But, you know, anyways, like, I have this thing, like, you know, the argument people make for Batman when they do, like, the whole Batman versus Superman. Like, if Batman had enough time to prepare, he could beat Superman. No, you know.
Actually, believe it or not, JJ, I'm unfamiliar with this argument. Yes.
Yeah, so there's a thing that, like, you know, if Batman had infinite time to prepare to fight Superman, he could win.
Okay.
And, like, with vanilla, like...
Wait, how does Batman win with infinite time
because,
to prepare?
Because Batman's,
he's smarter?
Yeah, he's smarter and has all the money and blah, 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 blah.
But Superman can fucking fly and, like, has super strength
kryptonite.
And is basically unkillable.
Yeah.
Okay, so Batman knows that Superman is weak against kryptonite.
Well, I mean, that goes within the time to prepare. He could find that out. He could talk to Lex Luthor.
Let's bring this back to Dragon's
right.
Crown.
So let me bring this back to Dragon's
Crown.
I don't
know. I'm pretty interested in the Batman versus Superman thing.
Vanillaware, like, if given the enough time to work on a game with the, like, an infinite budget,
well,
could
they took
make
a while for this game.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it was just in limbo. I don't know personally.
I think what you're about to say, though, could be said for any game developer with any game, right?
Well, no, I think the thing is because, like, I think a lot of the art, a lot of the art assets and stuff like that are made by George Kamitani himself.
Okay.
So if George Kamitani had enough money and enough time
and
to actually
himself, and if he cloned himself,
like, I think they could make an amazing game, but they always fall short because they don't have enough money and they don't have enough time. And like, I think this game is the closest they've gotten. It's still not like
it's been perfect. In development since the Dreamcast. So how much time do they need?
Well, it was just an idea at the Dreamcast stage. Well, they weren't like working on it.
I thought I saw a screenshot.
No, it was just one. It was just character designs.
They had it was going to be 3D though. Or at least the characters were going to be 3D. Right. But very different. And I would say if you think you want the characters to have more realistic proportions, look at those characters. Yeah. And like
so dull compared to
so what we got. Boring as hell. Not to say that Kamitani is not a huge pervert who every year sends out like New Year's cards that have schoolgirls touching themselves and whatever, but I see him as kind of like a crumb, like a R crumb kind of character, where it's like
he's a talented artist though. Like his stuff is amazing, just really, really
amazing,
good.
Amazing artist. The whole look of it, everything too, is very unique and just really, really polished, really lush.
If they could just carry that out.
Yeah, well,
they'd be unstoppable.
I would like to see it applied to, I think, a deeper game. I'd like to see them take on kind of a, I think they've, toyed with it, fiddled with it, played footsies with action RPG kind of stuff with Muramasa and those games. But I feel like they've never gone like full Zelda with it. And I'd love to see them like
nobody goes full Zelda.
Take that on. Nobody, very few can.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right.
So, so I guess that's about way too long talking about Dragon's Crown, but the people are excited about that game. So it's coming out, I guess, just in a couple of weeks, I think.
It's out next week. It's out next week in the US.
Why are you laughing with such a big grin?
It's just because we're not going to be able to talk about
Rogue Legacy
again.
Why? For the third episode in a row.
It'll be around still.
Give me like a short, very short.
I have like the past couple of weeks I've said it's a great game.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's enough. So Yokai Watch.
Yokai Watch. Yes.
I need to talk about Yokai Watch too.
Which I've played it for about 3 hours. We should talk about it. Level 5 game, kind of like a Pokemon, very much like a Pokemon style game, where you're finding Pokemon in your little town. It takes place in a modern day, just like Earthbound. Just like put that on the box. Don't. Actually, in America, just make it sell. But it takes place in modern day. You're a kid. You find a capsule vending machine underneath
a stone,
a capsule tree, vending machine. Like a big sacred tree in a temple. Anyway, your little friend Whisper. His name in Japanese. I'm not sure if it's coming out in English. What it would be, but
probably not.
But it is Whispa. So anyway. You're gathering Pokemon by finding them through like different places in the town. You like search on trees and stuff like that. At the beginning, you have to like move a sensor around. They're kind of invisible, but you have this watch where you're the only one that can see them. Right. It's definitely like a kid's game, but it's one of those games that's like, if you can enjoy a Pokemon game, I think you'll be kind of into this type of game.
Sure.
The combat is a very different. You have a wheel of your six yokai, like your ghost kind of things, all of whom are like puns on things that they represent. It's like this is like the bad mood yokai who, when he's around, like people get into fights and stuff like that.
That's like a gameplay element.
That's how you like find your parents are fighting,
right? Okay.
You actually come downstairs and your parents are fighting. Which I think was kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's probably the only twice in a video game I've ever seen like parents fighting.
Right.
The other, which was another Japanese game. It was Park Patrol Chibi Robo.
Yeah.
Your parents were like in the midst of like an ugly divorce and like sleeping on the couch and whatever. But it turns out your parents are fighting and, you turn on your whatever, you look through your watch vision and there's like a, spirit there that's hanging out. It's making them like, fight basically.
It's kind of sad because like, it's probably like at the end of the game, he wakes up and is like, it was all just a dream. And like his parents really were fighting. And it's like, he's just this old man recounting his troubled childhood.
It's like, hey kids, like when you're, when your parents are attacking each other and throwing pots and pans, that's not them.
It's just a mechanism he created in his
ghost
head
that you can't see, that you have to exercise with your magical powers by running through the city and the streets. Right. Anyway. So you run around gathering different yokai. There's like a kind of pseudo dungeons kind of things. Right. You in combat you move your wheel and you have three on your team fighting at any one time, and they auto fight. They just automatically keep going at it until you hit, like, you know, for them to do their special technique, and you choose which one. And then there's like one of, so far, which is not long, there's like two or three little mini games that you do with the bottom screen, like balls.
So it really is
around.
Kind of like a kid's game. Like, is there a lot of depth into the fighting at all? Or?
Not so far, but I mean, I've only really fought like one, what I would term a boss. I mean, I'm like 2.5 hours in, 3 hours in.
Are like parents fighting type yokai strong against like, you know, happy time yokai? Or?
So that much also I haven't gotten into yet to see if there's definitely types like that. And there's like a big index where you're trying to collect all the medals and stuff like that. You go to certain places like the Poke Center and get them healed, or you can swap out
the Yoka Center.
Other ones, into your party. You carry six. That one of the kind of cool things is you have a wheel and you can spin the wheel, and then the different, it just immediately in combat, the different ones are there fighting and stuff that. But like the aesthetics are awesome. The design of everything is really cool. It's very slickly presented. I mean, it is super specifically Japanese. I think with a really good localization, it could be something cool.
Yeah, I think kids like monsters and weird stuff like that.
Well, it's also like taking things that you might be afraid of or, you know, really into as being a kid and you know, making a character out of it. Right. And also like the secret world that you're the only one who sees and stuff like that. So, I mean, I do think, that it'll be like appealing for a younger set. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, decent like Japanese practice, but like the gameplay does so far seem like too simple.
Box quote.
Right. Yeah. Great Japanese practice.
Mark McDonald.
I guess, is there much else to say about it? I mean, there's some parts where you're actually moving the 3DS around using the gyroscope, I mean, with like a tie-in cartoon or something like that, could be something cool.
Yeah, I think, like, you know,
it has a manga and a cartoon, actually.
Really?
Does it? Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've started yet. I think the manga started, but the anime starts next year or something like that.
It's a sad thing to admit, but I mean, well, to have to just, you know, it's just a sad truth, but like Level 5 has sort of not really been so hot lately. Like, they were like a really big thing for a little while here in Japan, but they sort of fell off.
Yeah, this one's selling okay. I think it sold like 110 in its first 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy. Way more than I thought it
would. Yeah, it's pretty good for a new IP.
For them, though, I mean, they were hitting big time, and it's not Fantasy Life. Speaking of Level 5,
Fantasy Life is like the one good thing that they've apparently really they've done in the last, you know, year or so or whatever.
Which is very much, we talked about it on the show before, very Animal Crossing like. Was also making a big appeal for like women gamers, which is a big part of the audience here in Japan. We just got the new online enabled one, right? Which is called
Fantasy Life Link.
Link, okay. Yeah. Which is crazy that that's a whole new. I mean, this quickly.
Adam,
I think it's like
Adam
a, I think
loved
it's,
the shit out of the game. Friend of the show, Adam Ivanko, like who plays. You know, we tip him off to games, and then he plays them for like 7,000 hours. Like, he played Monster Hunter more than any game I've ever seen anyone in my life. And he played that game pretty much to completion. Like, he did everything in that game, which is not, it's one of those games where, like, there's lots of stuff to do, lots of different occupations to have. And, like, we had him on the show talking about it. Like, he played the crap out of that game.
So, are you going to try this new one that we just got?
Yeah, I'm probably going to try it, but it's probably going to be like you did with Yo-Kai Watch. I'll probably give it 2 or 3 hours. I'm, like, way too busy lately to play a lot of games, very sadly. But,
About the Yo-Kai Watch sales thing, Inazuma 11, the first Inazuma 11, didn't. Like launch to really huge numbers either.
And that was a good game.
It grew into like this huge.
I wonder if the cartoon had launched and everything by that time. Okay, yeah.
So it was just the game at that point.
What they do or what they did really well, Level 5, is they did the whole Pokemon Assault, which is
cross
toys, manga, cartoon on TV and the game all hitting at once. And I mean, the production values on this game, I gotta say again, are like really nice. I mean you can, you know, rotate it around, the graphics around. It's 3D kind of three quarters overhead view, a town that you're running around with. You got free reign, you're kind of running around the neighborhood, there's shortcuts and stuff. I mean, that part of it is pretty cool. I think it's a great idea for a game. I'd like to see it succeed. I mean, just to get, you know, this kind of...
There needs to be more high-quality kids games out there. Like, as a dad, like, my son is fucking huge into Power Rangers right now. And there's a Power Rangers 3DS coming out next month.
Oh, shit, yes.
And he's been watching the trailer for that, like,
Which ranger is, which color ranger is?
He likes the red one.
He likes the red one?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
Because he's the leader?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the, well, yeah. The
red one is like eternally the leader.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it like for real Power Rangers? Or there's a million different Power Rangers.
Well, in Japan, they change every year. Theme changes every year.
Right.
So this year, they're actually back to dinosaurs. And like, sorry to like go off track here a little bit, but like it's hilarious because like they do a dance before they morph.
Yeah.
Like Sama music plays. It's like beep, 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 beep. And they like do like a little jig and then like shoot their guns
every
up in the
time
air.
every episode. Okay.
And like they'll like after they morph, they do this long ass thing like, I'm the Red Ranger, I'm number one, and yeah, then I'm the Pink Ranger, I have horns,
right,
and like do their poses. And then like
that sounds like Voltron though, and they have the abridged version for one two episodes,
right,
that are like running.
But it's
out
funny
of time.
Because the monsters sometimes are just like, oh god, are we really doing this again?
Really?
Yeah, it's very tongue in cheek. I'm kind of enjoying it myself, like as just I'm watching it with him.
Right.
That aside though, he's been watching the trailer for the game.
It's gonna be a shit ass just turd of a game,
right,
you're gonna
the
have
game
to buy.
Is just like no, it's just like a side-scrolling beat 'em up, but it looks like the worst kind of beat 'em up ever. And like,
we'll see how it holds up to,
and it has like
crown.
These stupid ass gimmicks where like you take a picture of yourself and they'll put like a Power Ranger mask on you in the real
a
world.
Stupid gimmick, unless you're 3 to 4 years old.
Fortunately,
in
now,
which case it is the coolest thing
right.
ever.
Right now, he's not old enough to be like, "Give me this, give me,
uh-oh.
I want this."
He's not.
He's not.
He's not seeing the commercials because there's no laws in Japan about that shit.
No, he has. I mean, but it's just like. He doesn't get the concept of buying things, so he
right.
could just watch it on YouTube forever and be content.
He's a little communist.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
A little communist.
God
right
bless
now.
Him.
Right. So, but in the future, though, like I've been thinking about this. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and like I would buy things like the Ren and Stimpy game, or like some of the other like just you know TV licensed games back in the day, and they were just like total dog shit.
I was lucky because I got the first licensed game I think I ever bought. Well, at least on the NES anyway. It was a Karate Kid, and I don't think I ever bought a license.
Oh,
game
the
again.
LGM
I learned
one?
Fast.
You learned,
yeah.
you knew even then.
That was like one
that
of
was
the first five game. That game was.
I think I
garbage.
Always knew. I kind of just expected them. I mean, I would still
right.
play. I usually played the game without even having seen. Like
yeah.
I played Top Gun years before
NES
I saw
Gun?
That movie, just because
right.
it was like I tried to play like every game, or if
right,
other people
right.
were playing.
I rented
game,
a lot of them. I rented
yeah.
them all the
That's
time.
That's the
but
thing.
I never bought them after Karate Kid.
In America, back in the day, we could rent those things, and like you know, $5. We're out of $5, and we rented a shitty game or whatever.
Right.
But in Japan, there is no renting, so it's like
yeah, $7.
If my kid is like, "Daddy, if you get me anything for Christmas, get me this fucking dog
teach
shit game.
It begins."
And like, I have to be like, "Sorry, son, I'm not getting you a shitty game."
I have to say, remember, I mean, it was conventional wisdom. It's kind of harder to remember now, but
yeah.
into 8-bit and into 16-bit and probably into 32-bit, it was the default expectation was if something was licensed, it was going to be crap.
Yeah, it was a
right.
side-scrolling game where you were fighting like brooms and
yeah.
like flying.
No matter what it was,
scissors. It was
like, fighting brooms.
Yeah, it was
not
weird.
Necessarily Fantasia,
like Wayne's World,
yeah,
exactly. Home Alone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Home Alone was like a super famous example.
Yeah,
that was the one. That was our go-to. Like, this is a total piece of shit.
Right. All those
yeah.
ocean
and
games.
THQ. It was THQ,
yeah.
which was
THQ.
Also shorthand for a piece of shit.
THQ
game
and LGN, basically. Right.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah. The
Friday the 13th. Never played Friday the 13th.
Right.
NES.
And that game
no.
was actually pretty
oh,
cool.
I played. I don't know. It wasn't. I played it, but it wasn't.
It
I mean,
was, but dude, it freaked shit out when Jason was nearby. You were like, "What the fuck, Oda? What do I do?" You know, it was that was a pretty cool
it
game.
It was like
system,
probably on par with like Jaws, maybe.
Just the fact that there
Jaws
was
so
like a horror game, I remember being fascinated. Like, how could this happen? I think I saw it in an EGM or something. I'm like,
right?
How is he really going to be like killing kids?
It was scary as a kid,
right?
Yeah.
And then I remember buying Splatterhouse too, exactly for that reason. It's like it blew my mind that
good,
a video
though.
Game would be doing. It was okay.
For its time.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, it blew my mind that a video game would be like gory and
yeah.
be like mm. horror themed. I mean, that's how pigeonholed everything was like
right.
trying to be Mario. But yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, where the fuck were where
sorry.
Are we?
Kid, yeah. But anyways, like as a dad, I'm kind of venturing into this new territory where like I'm having to make the same decisions that my parents were making
yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's difficult.
Maybe we should start a corner, like crappy kids game corner where
yeah.
you can just bitch about the shitty Power Rangers games
right.
you're having to play with your kids.
Yeah. But he also was really into Yo-Kai Watch. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, you have it?
We had the demo, but he played
oh.
it so much the demo ran out.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No shit. It was limited to number of times.
30 times.
Oh, pretty much all of them.
Jesus. He played it 30 times?
And this was like a few weeks ago.
Well, this is a kid. He probably turned it on like 6 times in one day alone. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Wow.
He turned it on and would move around and then turn it off.
I feel bad that I have it. Like, we should just give it to him.
No, he would just... he's totally into Tomodachi Collection now, so that's...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he actually play it? Or
he does, and he's learning how to play it. He's like, he's growing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like you're raising your own little Pokemon.
Yeah.
JJ.
He's evolving.
He's learning. He's learned shock tube or whatever the fuck.
Super effective.
All right. So why don't we take a break? Enough meandering. We can meander on about the news, including what do we got? Like some
not
Wii
much.
U sales. Not great. Microsoft news, which is pretty good if you're an indie developer, maybe or not. I don't know. Can't decide. Ouya sales, definitely not good. And a bunch of other stuff. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. Shaka Khan, let me rock Shaka Khan. Let me rock it, that's all I wanna do. Shaka Khan, let me rock Shaka Khan. Let me rock it, got a feel for you. Shaka Khan, what you tell me, what you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Shaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. And let me take you in my arm, let me feel you with my charm, Shaka. Cause you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, Shaka. I make it work, just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Shaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock it, rock it.
All right, and we are back with news.
What is that exactly?
Is that it?
I don't know. It's just a song that I made up.
I see.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It sounded like you were doing like the old Batman theme or something at the start.
News.
I think that's better. Let's stick with that from now on. Yes, as always, with the news, with the whole show. We are Tobias, so
yeah.
Don't listen to what we say. Expect that we are lying to you, because maybe we are.
Yeah.
We work in the game industry. So yeah, expect that we are trying to sell you stuff from our friends and trying to dissuade you from buying anything from our enemies.
Yes.
Our enemies.
We don't have any sponsors for this podcast, but they are sponsors.
Not as such, but in a way, we work for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
For all you know, we are all wearing money hats right now.
That is
right. Just can't see them.
Hopefully, they don't listen to it themselves, but apparently, some of them might. So, unrelated Capcom news. There was a bunch of stuff that happened.
How about that?
Just actually, we recorded the first part of the podcast, and then a day later, this news came out, and so we're recording news a little later, which is good, I guess, that we have this stuff in.
Yeah.
I think there's an overwhelming, pretty negative reaction to almost all this news, because most of it is about franchises that are beloved, but now these are just mobile social versions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to their credit, it wasn't like they had said, there's going to be a Breath of Fire announcement coming up. Hey, fans, are you ready?
There was a countdown website for 2 weeks.
There was not even
God for that.
A countdown website. And actually, it's funny because Capcom America tried to do some damage control and stuff like that. So,
did they really?
Yeah. So relative to expectations, it was like, okay, nobody expected anything. But probably the beefiest piece of news, and this had actually come out in Famitsu a couple days earlier, at least for us that get Famitsu early.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Frontier G coming to PS3 and Wii U.
Yeah.
So you guys want to explain what this means, why it's exciting or not?
It means nothing.
I mean, I'm less down on this than I am on the Chinese Monster Hunter thing. I mean, at least Frontier is not a bad game. It's just an old game. And it's basically Monster Hunter 2 based.
Frontier is the PC.
Frontier is the PC.
I can't.
It's not an MMO.
I can't.
People keep calling
John,
it an MMO.
I can't hear you talk shit about the Chinese one and then say good things about this game.
I'm not saying good things.
It might as well be.
But John played this one.
It might as well be a Chinese
for 40 or 50 hours.
So
on Xbox.
MMO
PC based, but oh my god, destroy the bomb before it goes off.
Yeah.
Oh my god. it's okay. I'm just kidding. So what were we talking about?
We were talking
PC
about
one.
Monster,
so it's PC. Only kind of in quotes, because it did come out on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's been on the Xbox for a couple years now.
Kind of a quickie port. People could go back to the archives and find out our opinions on that. But so you guys just don't care?
I care. I don't want to. It's not. See, the thing is, when we have Monster Hunter 3, G, or Ultimate, and 4 coming out, of course, those are way better games. But, the cool thing about this game is. Oh, wait. Well, I'm going to preface this by saying, if you don't count the fact that there's a $14 monthly fee, because that's not cool at all.
Yeah.
You
have to pay every month. I just saw that, 1,400 yen a month.
But beyond that, like, it's basically, like, you get into a lot, like, a quote-unquote lobby, like a town, and there's, like, 100 people there. So, like, it's kind of like an MMO in that respect. But when you actually go out on quests, you're still with four people.
And your pigs fighting, and your dragons.
And you're still fighting, like, Monster Hunter 2-style gameplay, so it's, like, a little bit dated. But on the PC version, they have been, for like, the whole 3, 4, 5 years now, they've been constantly adding new monsters, like, every couple of months.
Right.
These are like, some of them are pretty cool, some of them are not. These
you have
are not
to grind like 600 hours to
yeah,
fight
you have
them
to play to like HR 100, and these aren't like made by like the real team. So right. like some of them are the really team. Awesome, and some of them are like ridiculous. But some of them you can fight with 8 players.
It's like Monster Hunter fan fiction is what it is.
Kind of, yeah.
12 players is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, you can download the game, the client for free. But of course, to play it, you have to pay the monthly fee. So, I mean, if you think about it that way, it's like, okay, playing it for 3 months adds up to actually a little less. It'd probably be more like 4 months in Japan.
There are no shadows in this game.
Right. That's your beef?
Yeah. It's just like, come on.
So really? Come November 20th for the PS3 and December 11th for the Wii U. So far, Japan only. Are you guys going to... Will you give it a shot?
I'll give it a shot probably on one. If they give you like a free period at all, maybe I would. But
if you buy the package version, you'll get like 2 months.
I want to try it again and just see how it's changed over the last 2 years. Because now this is the G version. This is like they upgrade every few months too. And this is like a full on quote unquote upgrade from the version we had.
You won't be able to play it. The G stuff comes way, way, way.
You can't access the G stuff right from the start?
Nope. You got to be like level 500.
The G thing.
599.
The other weird thing about this too, real quick, is that the Xbox and PC version players can play together, but for whatever reason, the Wii U and PS3 players have their own servers per platform, so they can't play with everyone. So Wii U especially, if you're only going to be able to play with other Wii U players, it's going to be like, what, a couple hundred people on there. Maybe.
And their kids.
Well, probably a good amount of people bought a Wii U, right, for Monster Hunter Ultimate. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, maybe not
that
small of an audience,
right?
But yeah, relative to what you would have on the PS3.
I think Ultimate sold a few hundred thousand.
What is this strange, crazy European voice?
I was here all along,
coming out of nowhere.
It's Tom.
You're gonna have to give yourself a intro and nickname.
Oh,
what do you guys call pickles?
Oh, Tom Gherkin Stanifor.
Whoa.
He's a gherkin. Whoa. He was asking us about our gherkins at lunch, and we're like, what are you talking about? They're pickles. But they call them gherkins.
Okay, you know what that implies, right?
A gherkin?
All right, just go on. Okay. So you were saying...
No, I'm pretty sure that, on the Wii U, the Ultimate sold like a few hundred thousand copies, so there's certainly a player base there for Monster Hunter.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll see.
Elsewhere in the Capcom news, so Deep Down, they showed another new video for that.
Oh, did they?
Yes, well, it's sort of a video. Like, you see flashes of things.
It's a video.
Did it look good?
Yeah, it is a video.
Was it as exciting as the first video?
It has voices.
I don't want to die.
I think it's safe to say that it looks different than the initial reveal.
Really?
Trailer, yes. There's no... It's just basically... People have taken screenshots of like a couple seconds of like flashing stuff. So
the screenshot, those like they're flat. There's blurring because of the flashing in the video and low.
Who knows
compression
what that
rate.
Is? Could be a cinema.
Yeah.
Could be not even. Well, I mean, it does look like it's something from the game or something, but maybe it's not really an engine or whatever.
The enemy.
They called it an online game now, right?
Yeah. Basically. They called it a reading. Everyone was like, "What's a reading RPG? A memory reading RPG is what they termed it as." They said it's going to be playable at TGS for PS4.
Cool.
Short trailer, blah, 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 new engine, so and so. So
I'm super excited about that game. If it comes out soon enough, like, I feel like, you know, like when you get to a new gen and like people try new IP, like I'm at least like more forgiving than I would be, you know, 3 years in or whatever, just because I want to try new stuff.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
You know, even if people are kind of not liking
it's
the
like
online
the fact
scene,
that it was
I'm
announced
it.
With all these other kind of mobile social games kind of freaks me out.
The only thing I would say, I think a lot of people are reading into that too, because it's actually Capcom Online.
Memory reading into it.
I'm memory reading into it. It's Capcom Online, I think, is the Capcom Online game. So some people, it was announced with all these other games, and people are starting to be like, wait a second, is this not like a full-fledged or whatever
game. It turns out it's just a card game.
Exactly. The only thing that I thought was a little weird is this new trailer seems like this is normally, I think, what you'd see first and you'd see the other thing second, because that was more beefy. But anyway, Not a lot there to really hang your hat on. It's more like a teaser thing. Street Fighter Cross All Capcom crossover and Street Fighter Card RPG announced. So
Street Fighter Crawl Capcom.
This is we're getting into the smartphone and tablet device things. And I think the weird thing about this is I think this is kind of controlling expectations, because on the face of it, it's like these licensed games come out all the time for tablets and smartphones and whatever. It's fine, right? Who cares? But when you're dying in the desert and waiting for a series to come back for a long time, or something is a surprise and you first hear, oh shit, Breath of Fire 6, and then the other shoe falls,
right,
instead of knowing beforehand, hey, we're going to announce a bunch of just online and social games, don't get too worried about this. No one even knew. I didn't even know that this event was happening.
Right, I
no,
didn't either.
It's pretty pretty bold, though, to put like the 6 on the Breath of Fire, right?
Big, I mean, like, bold and brassy. Because... So that's the big disappointment, right?
Right.
That's the...
Well, yeah, I guess I can't. I want to try to spin this positively somehow, but I guess I can't.
There's really no way to. I mean, it's...
I still want to try it. Whatever it is that's Breath of Fire, like, I'm going to want to see. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I never, you know, I understand people have a real soft spot for that series. It's always been a B-tier RPG.
Did you play Dragon Quarter?
I did not.
Because you're a Dead Rising fan. You would like that game.
I did not play Dragon Quarter.
That was the predecessor to Dead Rising, basically.
And I've read a lot about... I read a lot about it. I don't know that I would like that structure, though, in an RPG. From what I read about it at the time, and I talked to a lot of people when it came out, a lot of people who were big fans of it, I was just kind of like, nah, that's not for me. But by all accounts, it was you know, something interesting. I like the art style.
Yeah, the art style is great. I've always enjoyed the series. They've always had really shitty localizations, which is always kind of sad, like sometimes even inconsistent with each other, which is like sometimes a killer for me with an RPG. But like, I really like that series. So,
lay it all out there, Breath of Fire 6 for smartphones and tablet devices.
And PC.
PC, was that like a browser?
I think it's just a web browser.
Well, did they specify?
I don't think so, but
okay.
We don't
I'm
actually
sure
have a printout of this thing of news, but we do have a printout of, so then North America comes around and it's like, hey, yes, browser RPG for smartphones and tablets.
Right.
Capcom and USA announced that Breath of Fire 2 is coming to the Wii U Virtual Console.
Hey guys,
that's the one with the worst translation of them all. It doesn't even make sense.
Made available in North America, quote, in the coming months. They also point out that Udon Entertainment are publishing a Breath of Fire Complete Works art book in 2014.
That's kind of cool.
So that's kind of like a little bit of salve on maybe the
right.
wound.
The open gushing
Breath of Fire 2
wound.
Is out already on the Wii U Virtual Console in Japan.
Yes.
So.
Other bits of news that came out of this: Resident Evil Revelations HD is sold 900K worldwide.
That surprises me.
Pretty good. Is that just the That's just the HD version.
That's
so
shit.
It's not. Yeah, I was about to say that. That
oh, really?
Sounds like a ship
Wait,
number.
No, it's a digital download though, isn't it?
No, it came out in retail.
Copy. Really?
Yeah. Dragon's Dogma: Dark Arisen 550K, which is not bad for a like a. Greatest Hits, whatever, re-released. It did have some new content in it and stuff like that. Mm. But and then Monster Hunter 4, which is coming out September 14th here in Japan, as we've mentioned many times. They're hoping to sell 2.8 million by the end of March next year.
I think that's for certain.
Yeah, I think that's going
to be 2.8 million. I can't wait, man. It's getting close now. It's almost time to like allow ourselves to get excited. Like I've been holding it back, but now we're like 6 weeks away. You know what else is coming out in September too? Like nobody really made news of this, but Wind Waker HD in Japan is out in September.
No, what?
Yeah, September 26th.
Yeah, that is September.
That's the day after my birthday.
Wait, what's the announced date for America?
October. They haven't put a date on it.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
In other shit news, Last of Us DLC... some news coming out this month. They actually said this month on July 31st as part of a Reddit MMA, but I'm assuming they met August. So maybe at PAX, I don't know. They were teasing some things that they were going to be showing at a PAX panel. Some people were like, hey, we want to hear Joel sing. And they're like, come to the PAX panel.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be Joel and Ellie.
I kind of want to go to that panel.
In the place from Bioshock. I can't remember.
Rapture.
So many little things have to fall into place for humor to work. And
Almost had it.
Creative director Neil Druckmann and game director Bruce Straley, I guess is how you pronounce his name. He's actually a friend of Jake's. Did a Reddit, Ask Me Anything, check it out. There's some interesting stuff in there. But a couple of the big things that came out was that, there's going to be news about the first DLC, and apparently it is going to feature characters from the main game. They did not say who.
Hmm.
It's going to be Walt and Michael.
They did not say
prologue.
It's gonna be Walt and Michael's journey.
Yeah. Anything else here? No. They said they're kind of, it kind of make it sound like they're talking about other ideas, so whatever that means. Mm. So yeah, apparently they're gonna have a PAX panel, those two guys.
Awesome. Cool.
In a little bit of sadder news, sales news, Nintendo also announced some numbers, and it's pretty grim for the Wii U, as really probably not a surprise to anybody, but I think the actual numbers still hit people.
The level of grimness.
Basically, these numbers sparked about 1 billion Nintendo What the Fuck Is Wrong With You articles over the web in the past few days.
Really? Wii U by region, that's 90K. In Japan, this is, I think, just in the last quarter, right?
Yeah,
I think this is quarter two. Numbers for Q2. First quarter, isn't it?
Well, first fiscal quarter, but the last.
Wii U was doing 90K in a week. I mean, Wii was doing 90K in a week back in the day.
Yes, that's so bad. 90K in Japan, 60K in North America, 10K in
Europe and Australia. That's crazy.
Europe 10K. Is just completely dead. North America is limping. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing and interesting that they're selling way better in Japan than the other territories combined.
Well, it's just there's nothing here.
The first big game comes out Sunday, Pikmin 3 in America. We'll see if that does anything.
But it basically just means they're still selling through the first shipment, really.
But again, like, not really a big surprise that the numbers are bad. Maybe that they're this bad is kind of a surprise. But even Nintendo themselves seem to be kind of setting expectations lower for the summer at E3, talking about their like rollout of titles. They have like one a month starting in August.
They
gotta
get the games out, man.
They gotta have something in the works. I mean, some kind of, you know, I mean, not an ambassador program, obviously, but something to that level to sort of kickstart that thing right now.
Yeah,
I hope they're gonna have something.
Maybe
soon.
It's a Kickstarter.
Sounds like Miyamoto's been more and more teasing his new project too. So maybe they realize like, shit, let's get that out in a Nintendo Direct announcement. They gotta have something big to counteract the new consoles coming out, I think, towards the future and not just the games. So the games they have coming out, let's think. So they got Wind Waker HD.
Wonderful 101.
Pikmin 3. And one other game that's Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is next year.
This year is Mario.
Mario is December. Okay.
Mario is this year.
Mario 3D World.
I thought Mario Kart was this year.
Okay. It's January, I think, or February, something like that.
So they've got opportunity.
That, a big one on the horizon.
But then on the other hand,
Donkey Kong
is... So people are saying maybe that's going to be November, but
yeah,
it seems
that's
like
traditionally a November game.
But yeah, they need something. Well, we've talked about it many times in this podcast.
Wii Fit U is meant to be in December in Japan, I believe.
Oh, sorry, I dozed off while you were saying that. So 3DS, on the other hand, is doing fucking bonkers, of course. 640K in Japan, 360 in America, 400 in Europe. So yeah, like...
Wow, 400 in Europe. That's pretty huge.
Okay, yeah. Not bad. I think
Animal Crossing sold over 5 million copies worldwide, they said, too.
Yeah,
which is pretty...
Animal Crossing is doing great. Wii hardware, I think, broke 100 million.
Still underperforming compared to the regular DS.
Nintendo posted a pretty healthy profit for the quarter as well.
So they did post a profit. I'm not sure where it was in line with expectations. It probably says in this news story. But yeah, I mean, they also had a giant help, a big hand up, whatever the fuck, with the exchange rate.
They had they called like big operating losses, too, for like R&D and stuff, so...
Making the new system.
Maybe. I mean, they got to be doing something, seriously, right? Yeah.
This is not really news, but it's news to us because we haven't had a podcast in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Microsoft confirmed that developers can self-publish for Xbox One. So Game Informer broke this, and Microsoft, who normally never comments on rumors or speculation, was like, okay, yeah. Like, yeah, we did. Yes. We're doing that. Like,
this is
a bit of good news. Let's just fucking grab onto that shit with both hands and like write it. apparently, it was supposed to come out at Gamescom, but... Yes, so with the Xbox One, apparently they have not said anything about it changing for Xbox 360.
Wait, but everybody's saying recently that 360 as well. Is that just a rumor?
Oh, are they?
Yeah, 360 is going to have. I don't know if they've confirmed it yet, but everyone's talking about it. So.
Cool. Okay, yeah, the stories I've seen just didn't focus on it, but they all take care to just say Xbox.
Right.
That's a really
One.
Important, good move. Like, again,
it is.
I mean, again, they're digging their way out of a giant hole that they dug, but it's still, you got to do something, right? These
yep.
are good moves. So.
Yep. It's getting to the point where, like, if you look at them side by side, there's not such a big difference, but there's still that difference in perception because of everything that's led up to this point. I think the big difference right now, of course, is price on
the
sheet.
Connect, yeah.
And the Kinects. And speaking of how different they are or not.
Oh, God. We missed, I knew this story was going to come up.
We missed the Mark is Right section for this. But and you didn't print this out for me, JJ. So luckily well, I had
today.
A minute.
It was today.
Luckily I had a minute.
This
to
is QuakeCon, I'm guessing.
I have no idea.
And John Carmack. Keynote speech is famously like 4-hour, ridiculously technical, kind of crazy. A keynote speech that he does every year at QuakeCon, which is going on, I guess, this weekend.
Yes.
Says that the specs for the PS4 and Xbox One are, quote, very close.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about the GPUs.
Yeah. Just hold on to that, JJ.
Yeah. Hold on to that. There's a big RAM difference.
Anyway, he says, yeah, they're both very good. That's another quote. He did, if you think like, oh, he's just being, you know, nice and being political or whatever, he did sum up the Kinect as kind of like a zero button mouse with a lot of latency.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, maybe not like the most diplomatic guy. So I think he has a reputation for really speaking his mind on technical matters.
I wouldn't tell what he says, especially if he's talking about tech. So.
Wasn't there like a big thing like last week, though, about how like the amount the RAM, there was some story that broke about.
Oh,
how
it was just like the OS takes up a little bit more.
A teacup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a rumor that Digital Foundry was saying like it was 2.5 gigabytes of RAM on the PS4 was reserved for OS functions.
Right, but it was based off of the slide.
Let's just stop talking about this right now.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm already just getting more bored.
But it's not a problem, I guess. Because that would be a problem if you couldn't use it, half not, the RAM, that dude.
Nothing like, to mean, concern yourself with, yeah. Basically, is the takeaway. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, at this point, and we keep likening the, or at least I do, the run-up to the new console launches as like a presidential campaign. Mm. And this kind of shit happens all the time, right? Yeah. And there's going to be more of it, too, where like people get wind of something, it blows up on Twitter, like, oh shit, what is this thing going to be? It's a huge deal. A bunch of stories are written about it, and like 2 days later, everyone's like, oh God, that's kind of ridiculous how excited everybody was about that. Anyway... Mm. Back to Xbox One news. Apparently it's up to developers to support mods as well.
I think that's good. I think Major Nelson, generation.
Let me just get it out Go before ahead. You comment on it. Major Nelson, friend of the show.
Really?
Major Nelson, big listener.
Is he?
Big listener.
The CADcast.
Big listener.
Friend of that show.
Big fan. His morning exercises, apparently. Listens to the show while he's doing his morning calisthenics.
I don't believe that.
With his group, you know.
Yeah.
At the home.
Right.
So he says he was asked on Reddit if it meant that it would support mods following the news that it can be used as a blank now gamer. Thanks. You totally fucked it up. As a dev kit, though, is what they're talking about, which is the other really big news. Did we talk about that last time?
No.
Did this come out with the other thing? Because that is fucking... They, like, sandbagged that shit, too. Like, when they were getting the shit pounded out of them at E3 and stuff like that... They sat on this stuff. They had a lot of stuff to say.
Right.
For better or for worse, now they have this stuff. And it's presumably, I would guess, not knowing too much about how these things work and technical aspects and stuff, too late for Sony to be like, oh, shit, yeah, okay, let's do that too. Like, your PS4 is a dev unit too.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I wonder. I don't know.
Seems like a firmware thing. But it's not...
They haven't said anything. They haven't said, we will do that too. We'll make that happen.
Right, right.
So, we'll see. I hope they do, though.
I hope they do, too. I mean, that's one-upping them. That is going like, hey, we see your ante and here, like on the indie thing.
The thing is, though, like, we still don't know how much it's going to cost. You're not going to get an Xbox One and then open up Notepad and start coding your game right away.
Why not?
Because there's going to be fees.
I am.
No, you're not.
But what were we talking about?
You don't know. What were we talking about?
You don't
know
there's going to be fees.
Oh, there's going to be fees.
How do you know?
Because it's Microsoft.
That's not an answer.
And history has shown that they will charge for that.
We were talking about mods.
Yes. So in like a post-DayZ world, I think most people need to pay attention to mods because those things can just blow up. And
fucking a post in a Dota world.
Yeah. True. Exactly.
Crazy. Lots of crazy things born on the mods. Xbox One. Yeah, that's the full RAM access. So that was a scare actually with the PS4. But I guess there was an Xbox One version of it as well.
Always
in the news.
Is.
I don't know. Who cares?
When you make up shit. That's always...
Nintendo not currently looking to work with Japanese indie devs. Okay, I think this story blew up pretty big. I don't know that that's really true.
It does seem weird.
They handed out something. I think this was... They handed out something at GDC.
Right.
And it said, hey, Japanese indie devs, like, don't fill this out because we're not accepting them from you. Which sounds to me partially it's like a region thing.
Wait, and, really?
Yeah. It seems to be like, maybe it was like one of those things is like, yeah, guys from Japan, don't fill this out. We probably have something.
Yeah,
however, Nintendo of America commented saying that they had no comment about the issue, which seems to me, if that really was the case, that they would just say that. Weird. So, yeah, maybe a storm in a teacup. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Reggie might be a Smash Brothers character. Well, not when I say might be.
Yeah.
Some people want him to be.
Right.
There is a petition underway at change.org. As of when you took this down, it had 17,000 signatures,
right,
which I think is pretty awesome.
It's pretty. That's a lot. They were like 7,000 away from their goal.
I just don't see them doing that. I think
Before you comment on it. So this is because basically somebody tweeted at, or no, actually when Reggie was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, he took questions from Nintendo fans. One of them asked if he would be in Smash Brothers. He said, great question. You have to ask Mr. Sakurai. It's his game. If he wants it, my body is ready. And so... So people are tweeting to @Sora_Sakurai to let him know about the petition. It's a hashtag, Reggie for Smash Brothers. You can check it out. They're also tweeting to Nintendo of America, right, Nintendo nice. UK, Nintendo of Europe, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, what do you guys think?
I just don't see, knowing how Sakurai is such a perfectionist about like his games and his game worlds, I don't know that he would do it. But I mean,
I bet you
cool
he's getting a lot
did.
Of pressure from within, just even not for not being Reggie, but as a character that organically is born out of the fans.
Right, yeah. Right.
However, if they do this, how dangerous is that? Because
it says we're listening to petitions, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
saying to the fans.
But
like,
he has said before that, like, the fan, like, he's mentioned how, like, the fans' number one choices before were, like, Sonic
right.
and then Mega Man or something.
And that's
right?
why
so,
they chose him, yeah.
Right.
So maybe if they do it, it would be smart to announce it just, like, right before the game goes live, where it's like, okay, the characters are set. We got Reggie in there. But
I totally see, like, Iwata, the polygonal head of Iwata from the Choto Nintendo Directs,
that
being
be...
like one of those items that, like, you know, pops out of the screen. Like,
yeah, actually, if they put
like
Reggie
could,
in, they have
his
to
hands will just
in.
Go like boom.
Direct Choksetsu. He has the direct attack. Actually, they should put if they put both of them in, like that would be interesting.
I want total like photorealistic scanned in Way of the Warrior level quality animation.
With, like,
Reggie,
two frames of animation.
Who's just like that big? Yeah, he walks like like the, you know, with two frames of animation. He just
right.
he kicks his leg just appears straight out. He has
like
a,
he's all bent over, hunched over when he does the kick because he's not flexible at all.
He's got that sweet bow staff from the Renaissance Festival that they just bought it for Way of the Warrior characters.
Let's do that.
I want that exact bow staff from Way of the Warrior. I want him to be wielding that.
Reggie's apparently quite an athlete. He plays a lot of basketball.
He
says.
Does so really post up. Apparently, pretty often as well. Activision Blizzard goes indie for a mere $8.2 billion.
Interesting.
That's cute.
Basically, I guess trying to buy themselves back, kind of Bungie style, but with this time with cash instead of games.
Yeah.
So yeah, does this mean anything? Who knows? I don't know how.
Well, it's good that they got out of Vivendi. Yeah, Vivendi's umbrella or whatever.
Is it?
Well, Vivendi wanted to sell anyway, and they were looking for ways to do this. So it's good that it happened within, rather. I think. Rather
I wonder,
than, you know,
what if any kind of influence Vivendi had over the like game making, like how this will trickle down to, you know, I mean, we're still going to get Call of Duties every year. I wonder if there's any kind of creative change or this management change will trickle down to actual, like...
It probably just gives Bobby Kotick more freedom to do what he wants.
I honestly don't know a lot about Vivendi, but I can't imagine Vivendi had, like, any real great, like, positive influence on game. Have they made any good games in, like, I don't know, 20 years? So
did Vivendi make games at all?
Didn't they make Aladdin? Well, not Aladdin, but Aladdin, but they made like games like those. They made those like licensed games and stuff in the 16-bit days, didn't they?
Ooh.
I think.
I don't know.
No way to segue into Ouya except to do it. In shitty, disaster, crappy news, Ouya somehow is like trying to spin this as like a good thing. This is better than they expected, but 73% of his owners have yet to buy a game. John, are you one of those 73%?
Yeah.
You haven't bought anything on it?
Nope. Oh, wait, downloaded Towerfall. Did I pay for it? Maybe
no.
I bought it. I don't
Apparently,
remember.
Only 2,000 people bought it on the
Yeah.
Which, for the amount of buzz that got on my Twitter feed, I might just have 100 people on my Twitter feed at least talking about it. Maybe none of them bought it. Maybe they're all playing the demo, but...
I don't think I bought it, because I'll buy it on Steam when I actually want to buy it. Like,
27% of owners have paid for a game. 13 of the Ouya's top 20 grossing apps have managed an average rate of 8% of gamers upgrading from free to paid.
yeah, social and mobile apps. Some people are calling out, well, you know, you're getting the game for free, but then people are paying for stuff maybe in in-game purchases and stuff like that. That might be why it outdid their expectations.
Is anybody seriously gaming on Ouya, though?
I don't
think so.
Like, I guarantee, like, so. 98% of the people are turning it on just to see what the hell it is. The
controller is so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. I mean, again, not a horrible idea. Kind of cool to have, like, a almost like an indie Apple TV, like, right, browser of indie game kind of things. The UI isn't the worst thing in the world. It's not great. It's got some interesting bits to it, but
once Apple makes their whole Apple TV gaming thing, like, official, Ouya is going to be the first thing that gets, like, incinerated, like, completely obliterated.
There's
in the blast,
100
like
things coming looming on the horizon that are going to just make it completely forgettable. Yeah. So if they didn't get out of the gate, and they apparently haven't, big those guys.
Yeah, but yeah, surprise surprise, like, not like any of us didn't expect it
exactly
to be this way. So
exactly. Major tournaments agree to rule standardization on player collusion.
This is really cool.
Yes. So, Shoryuken.com. So a couple of the big, fighting game sites and communities and Mad Cats, like, basically companies and sites and people associated with the fighting game community, based on, well, apparently this has been a problem in other tournaments, yes, but based on this tournament that happened in the Caribbean recently, where the last match was basically a joke. Basically, apparently, what people are saying happens is the two
coconut
finalists
fell on the guy's head.
Flocker, exactly. And Chris G.
Flocker. Wait, who and Chris G?
Chris G and Flocker.
Okay, who are well known? I mean, at least I know Chris G. Marvel.
Flocker. Flocker's the guy who won Evo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Apparently, the idea is that they chose a bunch of joke characters and just were kind of screwing around and with, having had an agreement beforehand.
Phoenix fucking right.
That whoever wins, they just split it with the loser.
Right. Because that they get the second place and the first place purse, so they can split it. And they get a little bit more money.
A bunch of tournaments signed on, and it's actually kind of controversial, I think, because, the fighting community is very organic. There's no one body that kind of tells everybody what to do. So right, pretty much any decision has a lot of talk and argument and disagreement. Not necessarily a bad thing, but what I think part of the controversy, if you can call it that, most level heads that I see prevailing are saying, like, yeah, this is a good thing. We actually already had this in the books. This is the way it's supposed to be. Like, this is, we have to have this. This is important. Seem to be saying that. I think some people are just kind of like, well, hold on. Like, you're kind of telling people what they do with their money or can't do with their money. Like, where do we draw the lines? How do these rules work exactly? How do you enforce it, et cetera, et cetera? But I mean, if you think about it, it's like, of course, like, it sucks that there could even be a situation where it's not in everybody's best interest, that it's not structured such that you want, you know, you, no matter what, you have to fight to win. But like, yeah, this, I mean, especially something so blatant as apparently what they did.
Right.
Just seems like, Jesus Christ, this is in real danger of just becoming a joke, especially at these, like, kind of not major, not any of the majors of the tournaments leading up to Evo.
The interesting thing that I think is going to be when the first time this happens is, like, you know, they basically said they decide at their sole discretion if the players were cheating or not, right? The organization, whatever. And so, like, it'll be interesting the first time they decide and, like, people are like, no, it wasn't. Like, the fight that's going to happen there. But
there's also some, you know, there's also some discussion about, like, well, like, Shoryuken.com and a couple of these guys are ostensibly kind of press sites. They're not really, but they kind of are. So like, shouldn't they cover a tournament no matter what? And like, shouldn't they cover if somebody says, oh, you cheated, this tournament's disqualified for whatever reason or whatever. They just said they're not going to cover these tournaments unless you agree to these rules. But I don't know. It's kind of like the drawing the line between press and fan site for them, which they do both. So personally, I agree with their stance.
Totally.
I think it's a smart thing to take. Mad Cats got behind it too. They like said they're fully only going to support the
And those guys are not like just a straight news outlet that covers other things. Yeah. They're a pillar of the community. So
in any pro sports, like you know, you don't go to a boxing match and like,
right?
You know, you expect to see a real fight. You know. Yeah.
In a real sport, they wouldn't have to say, we're not going to support your things, but they are such a big, huge part of it right now that,
Yeah. It's to be all real, like the WWE.
I don't care what Manny Pacquiao does with his money after the match, but I want to see him fight for real.
By the way, just as an aside, isn't it interesting that we can say Mad Cats now, like, and not laugh at it? Remember years ago how garbage they were, and they've actually made a respectable name for themselves.
Well, within fighting game community context, yes, there's still, like, if you start to talk about, like, are they a still Snap-on making, like, baby thing controllers for your 3DS that, like, can attach it, yeah, to you
with fans.
Exactly, it has fans to keep your hands dry.
Wasn't there, did they make that thing where you could, like, jam a Wiimote inside a baby or something for that Majesco game?
No.
Was that not?
Don't shake the baby.
Yeah. No.
That's anyway, in our Rod Davis.
You were not saying no. You're actually imitating baby. Yeah. Yeah, they talked about the Player One podcast recently. They were like, you know, with your favorite sports team emblazoned on it too, right? They had like 6 million different 3DS like hand grippers with optional light, and it was like a Swiss Army knife with 60 things sticking off. Anyway,
it's an extra light.
Back to Xbox One real quick. They kind of went into a little more detail about how they're going to keep you from playing with cheats and jerks online. It's from Polygon.com story. Thanks for a lot of the news from them. Kotaku, NeoGAF, etc., etc. Basically, like, they're talking about crazy space algorithms that are going to, instead of people having to report you, it's just if they mute you or they block you or things like that. The system basically is more set up to work on its own automatically.
Eventually, you're sent to the island of misfit online gamers and never to be heard of again.
So, you know, and you can get a few bad ones. Apparently, they're trying to make it smart enough to, like, detect behavior. If, like, 14 people all of a sudden ban you, it looks at other things before just saying this person's a jerk. And there's like three levels: is good, needs improvement, or avoid me.
Wow, it sounds like a report card.
All right, yeah, except for the avoid me part.
Yeah.
What if they're going to be trolls who just basically go around like blocking and muting people just to sort of
be
trolls,
but the same, like, as there are with people now who fill out, you know,
I think guess so. If someone feedback was to do that, I think that would,
but here's the thing,
if somebody knows,
exactly, it does put the spotlight on them more
that
than
part's
it would.
Easy, right? Yeah. If you fill out 30, block 30 people in an hour and do that, then
That thing really worries me, because, for example, on Xbox Live, you can view, like, your reputation and so forth.
Yep.
I never, ever have my mic turned on. I apparently have, like, 40% trash talking, but I've never talked in a game.
Interesting.
So it's just like,
you made some enemies.
Well, it's just people, they click the wrong gamer tag, or like, oh, you were doing good, and they just want to, like, file a report against you for anything.
Well, that's 40% of people who filed a report have filed that about you.
Yeah, so I don't know how many
so
that
maybe
is,
like,
but
2
still
out of 5 people, probably.
But it's still, like, it's
clear
that
it could just be because you're British.
But that should make you like this system more.
I guess, but I'm just worried that it's
because all the people who never said, oh, he was trash-talking, now count against anybody who would be a jerk.
Yeah, I guess this stuff just worries me when it's automated and you're sort of putting trust in players.
You worry a lot, Tom.
Yeah.
About a lot of things. Just let go and let it happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Set yourself free.
Microsoft.
Was that the
quote?
Thanks, Mark.
It'll be over soon. Let it happen.
Oh, God.
I'm worried.
Kickstarter tabletop game collapses after bringing it out. We don't need to talk about that. What is this tabletop game?
Dude, like, moved to Portland.
Oh, that one.
Is moving to Portland the new, moving to the Caribbean with a bunch of money?
I guess so.
Like, how is moving to Portland
for
some opulent, like, crazy,
but apparently
decadent lifestyle choice?
He spent some of the money on this to move to Portland, to move himself to Portland.
Oh, how dare he?
It's money that they were supposed to use to make the game.
Is that the best that you got, though? Like, he didn't, like, buy a diamond baseball or anything like that?
I don't know.
That, like,
maybe.
Okay.
But they
like, moving to Portland is not like a, you are fucking kidding me. He took the money and moved to Portland?
they were only supposed to get $35,000. They got $123,000.
Sure.
And didn't even come close to making the game.
Really? Yeah, so he...
So chances are they did a little bit more than going to Portland.
That's pretty shitty.
I just like that you're like, the guy went
fucking
to Portland. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like Hawaii or something. Or
he,
like,
bought a Ferrari and drove to Portland. No.
Sword and Sorcery numbers came out. There's some interesting stuff out there. Check that out. That's really cool.
I like their infographic.
Gratifying for us to see. Yeah, a lot of infographic. It's really cool of Cappy being, like, totally open with their numbers and stuff like that. Those guys are awesome. They mentioned us in the Japanese version in their little thing, so thanks to them for that. Check that out if you're interested at all in, like, what sells what, Humble Bundle, iOS, Android breakdowns, and a lot of cool stats there. How Don Matrick plans to turn Zynga around. This is
I got this article mostly because Don Matrick is like 5 feet taller than the other guy.
Right. Yeah. The founder of Zynga, what was his name? Mark Pingus or something.
Yeah.
Definitely Mark Pingus. Or is that? I may be getting him mixed up with the leader of like Blink 182. What is his name? And now I have to know what
Blink
it is.
Blink 182, Mark Hoppus.
Okay, that's one of them. And then they're not going to say the name of this little midget anywhere in here.
I think Pingus is a good name.
Mark Pincus.
Pincus.
Oh. Hey, what was the name of the Blink 182 guy?
Mark Hoppus.
Oh, all
that's
right.
Very close.
Close enough. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, break some bad habits and, quote, get back to basics. I think people just really
stop copying other people's games, basically.
Chasing console graphics on mobile is a mistake. This is former EA CEO John Riccitiello.
What's Riccitiello doing now?
I think it's Riccitiello.
It is Riccitiello.
I think he's just talking shit.
He's talking shit.
No, I mean, where's he working
Connect,
now?
At least.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just identified as former Electronic Arts CEO in this Polygon story, so probably like just out spending his money,
hanging out,
moving
at the
to
beach.
Portland, and all that fucking crazy rich guy stuff.
With all the hippie kids.
Final Fantasy isn't dying; it's already dead. This was an interesting article from Chris Kohler on Wired.com.
I didn't read it, but the headline is a little
did
harsh.
Did you read the highlighted parts there?
Well, okay, yeah. I'm not going to read the highlighted parts, but it has a mythical conversation between Nobuhiro Goto and Toriyama. I don't need to get about bra sizes, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean,
there was a question about like armpit hair or something like
We've done worse on this show.
Yeah, but these guys
for sure.
This
especially
like,
with regards to this franchise.
But we're not
his point is that
Final Fantasy started out as like this, you know, huge game with lots of respect and everything, and now they're talking about, oh yeah, we changed her bra size depending on her outfit so it could jiggle more.
But what part of that is not true, I guess?
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
The square.
Yes.
Part. Okay.
Square
okay.
Part.
Just so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I thought you sounded like you were criticizing
the
article.
Chris Kohler is right on.
Okay.
Point.
Yes.
I just think it's a little too soon to say it's dead. Like it's definitely like been dragged across the mud and is bleeding and is like dying.
The 13
but
series.
But it's not dead. Like
I mean,
let's see what happens with the next. With 14 is actually it's an MMO, but they've done a really good job of turning it into a good game. And we'll see what happens with 15. Jury's out, obviously, but I mean, it looks like it has potential.
Once 13 is wiped off the face of the planet, I think
Toriyama probably needs to go. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, the dude is basically, you read that stuff and you're like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, what planet are you on?
I think Chris's point is compared to what it was, like, not that it won't sell something, but like, and, you know, I feel like we've talked about this and we probably all agree with this on the show, right? That it's like, compared to before, it's like, you know, you're seeing these lightning returns things, and you're just like, really? This is Final Fantasy? Like,
and that the garbage on iOS, where with the horrible free to play games and stuff that they've been putting
out. I watched part of a speedrun of Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy VI as part of Summer Games Done Quick, and like, it just hits me every time I see those games. Just like,
so good.
Man, this was amazing. At the time, this was totally pushing the forefront. There's no reason they have the technical chops.
Yeah.
They totally have the technical chops to be. Pushing the genre,
but they don't have somebody
cool
in there
stuff.
Or if like who's like visionary and
that's
understands
the thing.
Like,
that's
and if they do, he's stuck busy on 14 or something. Because did you see like the Final Fantasy V remake on iOS, like the art?
No,
it's hideous.
Really?
It is like you took my beautiful gem and just turned it into dog shit. It looks like they took like pictures of like mountains and like scanned them in or something. And
it's bad. It's like make your own RPG.
Really terrible.
Speaking of Square, Eidos Montreal GM resigned. This is Eidos Montreal founder. Wow, and general manager Stefan, JJ pronounced that,
D'Astus,
has resigned from the company as of last Friday. He told Polygon, quote, "The lack of leadership, lack of courage, and lack of communication were so evident that I wasn't able to conduct my job correctly. I realized that our differences were irreconcilable and that the best direction was unfortunately to part ways." Like, ouch.
Wow. Is that he's talking about with Japan or what?
Bad. Yeah.
Wow.
Basically with Square. With Square Enix.
And this is after, I mean, this is with the new management and everything. Still, obviously, he's saying this. That's
So there's been a bunch of, you know, resignations and weird things. Square Enix North America CEO and President Mike Fisher stepped down in May.
Yeah.
Wada resigned in March.
That was probably a really good
thing. The lack of courage thing is kind of...
Yeah, like, I mean, that thing is... That's about
damning.
As harsh as anyone gets when you're leaving a company. Normally, it's like, I'm looking forward to new challenges.
Right.
It's like, no, shit is fucked here. Yeah. Fucked, fucked.
They don't know.
Apparently,
what
though, I don't think we have this in a news story, too. They announced a next-gen Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah, I think did. That came out something yep. today.
Didn't know that.
Steam Greenlight, not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. That's a quote from Valve. Good. Saying basically we're trying to do better. Yeah, apparently this really sounds like Japan too, which is amazing. The company's earlier process for onboarding new partners involved fax machines, which
right?
I have a hard time
fax machines
believing that, but that's definitely something that you would hear about in Japan. Like, anyway, they've been saying this too. I've heard this a couple places privately as well. Like, we're making improvements to Greenlight where we can. But right now, we're focusing on what we can do to ship more games. So, yeah, this was after somebody, a developer, basically criticized them. And,
yeah,
somebody came out. Actually, wait, it was a Valve guy who said the fucking fax thing. So.
Well, the platform is, like, damn near close to perfect. So, you know, when things like this happen, it's pretty obvious.
They're as close as anyone's gotten. Let's say that.
Well, they say it's better than it was before they started Greenlight.
How much did you spend on the summer sale, JJ?
Not a lot. I actually just bought Retro City Ransom. That was
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, that's not what it's called. Rampage.
Rampage, that's right.
I see.
Sorry.
Have you played it?
Just a little bit.
I bought some stuff too. I don't remember what.
I love all the video options that it has for like scan lines and stuff.
Cool. Oh, like the retro style. Yeah. What, our other intern, Chris, would love that. Yeah.
Speaking of retro style, Towerfall PC version to include, quote, fully fleshed out single player. So we mentioned earlier this only sold 2,000 copies on the Ouya, so maybe not too surprising.
Everybody's saying really great things about the multiplayer on that.
Maybe it was actually a smart idea for that to come out for Ouya, though, because at least it was pegged as it got so much press as, oh, this one great Ouya game, and now when it comes out on other things, rather than, I mean, it would still be a good game anywhere, but it just wouldn't
get there. But it had no competition, so therefore it just automatically rose up. No, that was, whether that was intentional or not, it worked out really well for them.
Well, it was the same thing with the games on Xbox Live Indie, the RPGs by Zeboid. Was it Cthulhu Saves the World?
Yeah, that's what got
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, sorry. Okay, God. Like
Gherkin Saves the World.
That's right.
That game got so much publicity just from having been on like Xbox Live Indies that by the time it came out on PC.
Sure.
Totally, totally.
They're saying Mac and Linux port might
see,
be
just
coming
after he
out.
Says
that
you
might be coming out, and a release date has not been announced for the PC version yet.
I think you meant Linux.
He's that's the guy who made Aquaria. Like, he makes good games. Like, I'm excited about the prospect of a single player Towerfall. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that it didn't have single player, so I'm glad that when it comes out.
I don't really know if I understand how single player would work, but I mean, okay.
AI characters.
I'd like to see it. Was that all it's going to be? Bots? Or is it not going to be?
I don't know.
It's
you said
robust,
a fleshed out
so,
single player.
Right?
I don't know how that could be just bots. Maybe,
I hope it's not just
a
story thing. If it's a side scroller, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, what was this?
We talked about the Dreamcast.
Yeah, we did talk about Dragon's Crown for Dreamcast. Mike Tyson couldn't beat Glass Joe, so I think it's a TMZ video. You should Google it.
You're
if
serious?
You haven't. Yeah, where he talks about that and how he's a big fan of Tour of Duty games featuring
that's
zombies.
Like the iOS version or something.
He says, to be fair, he's a late bloomer. He only started playing games in 2006, 2007, but that's pretty cool.
I take issue with, if he can beat Glass Joe, he probably just doesn't play the game.
I bet you his hand-eye coordination
JJ,
is not so hot.
Dude, how can
he's
you not beat Glass Joe?
A few times,
JJ. Like,
did you watch the documentary?
I did. Saying, it's my
this is a great documentary, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel for the guy now.
Did you guys see, like, so Glass Joe has one win in his his official tally. So people are like, oh, that's the one win was against Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He's like 99-1, I think, is Glass Joe's record. Speaking of Glass Joe, Cliff Bleszinski teases a sneak peek at his next project.
Really?
Yeah, he showed a screenshot. I see a gun. Oh, there's some water.
In
and
a
Cliff,
Disney World.
Just check it out
if
you want
to. It looks like that id Software game that came out last year.
Oh, God. No, it doesn't. Rage?
Yeah, Rage.
Oh, that's like the most nasty thing you could say.
Desert landscape with guns and vehicles.
I mean, first of all, it's just one concept art shot. You can't really judge into it, reading into it, which is exactly what he wants us to be doing.
Hope it's got more meathead drama.
But the artist was a concept artist who had worked on The Last of Us. There's some explanation about what things are, so... blah, blah, blah. We'll see what's going on there. He did say recently, last thing I wanted to do was to make a big AAA studio. So maybe he's doing like an embryonic thing and having somebody
else
develop
Cliffy
it.
B's blog
posts are hidden throughout the game for you to collect.
I was like, whatever stops him from blogging and tweeting so much, I'm fucking fully behind.
Yes.
So like, God bless. Let's see that game come out and be good. Blizzard making maybe him reading them dramatically, like right. their audio cassettes, like BioShock style. Yes. Blizzard making Diablo-related announcement at Gamescom. They've previously...
Maybe they're going to announce the multiplayer... player versus player stuff finally coming out.
Yeah, they apparently teased some kind of expansion thing with no schedule. Speaking of Blizzard, Titan is unlikely, that's quote, to be a subscription-based MMO, which I think is interesting.
That makes sense. I mean...
Yeah.
It does, but it's still kind of... I don't know. It's still kind of shocking to me somehow anyway. Like, that was... These guys are the standard bearer for the MMO business model.
Yeah.
And even now they're saying, like, I mean, there's no release date. It's not even officially announced, apparently. Titan.
Warcraft right. subs are way down, like, from, like,
but
5 years ago.
But still 7 million, 7.7 yeah. million people.
But they're saying, like, the business model seems to be saying business model is over. I'm kind of assuming that they're saying some kind of free-to-play something.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, it has to be, yeah.
I'm guessing
sure.
they don't think that Lightning can... strike twice in this case, so they're just going where
and they're thinking so far ahead that there's some new it's like gamers are going to be hooked up to give blood like automatically.
Maybe they'll offer
the system.
Both options somehow or something.
It's
like
solar powered.
Your soul. Yeah, I don't know. Little bits of your soul are periodically removed.
Please deposit one soul piece.
Speaking
weak.
Of soul, he's got soul. He's super bad. Shigeru Miyamoto, Mario Papa.
Yeah.
Has revealed some hidden memos in Pikmin 3. We talked a little bit about this at the
yes.
start of the podcast. What do you know about it, JJ?
Well, just throughout the game, there are these little, you know, the little yellow chips. There are little yellow chips that you are throughout the world, and you collect them, and they give you hints and stuff like that. But some of them are just like Pikmin holding numbers.
This is why I had to keep grabbing them, even though I didn't like the tutorial.
So there's something about those numbers that will be used somehow, I'm guessing.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
He teased it in a Miiverse post, saying, like, I don't suppose you come across any secret memos while playing through the story. Did you know if you collect 10 of them, the numbers contained will combine to form a special code? He says he'll be in touch to talk
eShop money
about it more. Yeah, so how, wait, are
every
eShop-
game has a unique code, and the lucky people, the lucky five children, will get golden tickets to go see Miyamoto.
Are eShop codes 10 digits?
To go to Portland.
No, I think they're 16.
Right? They're a lot more than
all expense paid. Yeah.
So they're not going to be DLC, can't be like a DLC level or anything cool like that. Nobody's figured it out. The internet sleuths.
I don't know. I haven't seen
Half-Life
much discussion on it.
Three guys on this case.
They figure that shit out in like 9 minutes.
Jesus. All right. Otherwise, I think that's it. Was there any other big news to talk about? Anything we missed? No.
Yeah. Sunday. World International Global 8-4 Day. Celebrate.
That's right.
Play Super Mario. Do not just Super Mario. Play whatever world game has a World 8-4. Take pictures. Send it
that's
to
right.
us. A lot of people did that last year. It was cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yes. Please do that. We have some really cool shit, too, that we're working on that we'll
Holy
be able to
crap.
Talk about soon, I think, I hope.
By the way, this is episode 81.
That's right.
That's only three episodes away from
I 84. Think 84 falls like right around TGS, right? Although, depending how
it
many
does.
Episodes we end up doing that week
falls
and whatever. But.
Right between, well, yeah, that's true. Like, on the regular schedule, I think it falls between PAX and TGS, which is interesting time.
Mm. Yeah.
For us here and for everyone who listens to the podcast and everyone in games, the world in general,
the planet.
People of the world, human beings in general should be excited about that time period.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more and less obliquely about that in the coming episodes. Until then, where can people find us, talk to us, yell at us,
Tom,
call us stupid?
So you can find us at 8-4.jp. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us at our home on the internet, Giant Bomb. There is a thread on NeoGAF every week. Please leave us 5-star iTunes reviews.
Very well done.
Tell he's a listener. Yes. He's a regular listener.
He memorized.
Woohoo! And then you can find us our own Twitters with Mark.
Mark MacD.
JJ.
SPRSK.
John.
John TV.
I'm Tom, TAS Tokyo.
Yeah, feel free to point out things that we got wrong or right. We'll try to get our fact-checking system in place.
Yes.
Maybe next time. And also, one of these days, we're going to get around to A, the Dark Souls podcast, B, the Resident Evil podcast. I'd actually kind of like to do that next week if we can find the time.
There's no way that's going to happen.
Maybe I would prefer to do the Dark Souls one first.
I want to do some tease. I have to finish Dark Souls before we do
Do
that,
it.
Though. I know. But next time we'll be able to talk about maybe Killer is Dead. I'd like to talk about
that.
You
know, I want
to play that. It just came out.
I just don't want to pay for it. I wish it would just show up on my lap somehow.
Maybe if you think real hard, yeah, that'll happen. But what else will we talk about next time? Is anything else coming out in the next couple weeks?
Maybe The Wonderful 101.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Anyone's interested?
When is that out?
I am interested.
That's out this month in Japan, I believe.
Wait, yeah. But that's not in the next 2 weeks.
Is it in the next 2 weeks?
I don't think
I think
so.
It's the week after next.
Mercenary Kings, I would like somebody to play.
Yes, I'm probably going to buy that.
Good. I think it's just the early
Who
version
makes that?
Of it.
But, yeah.
What's their faces? They you wouldn't know them from any other game, but yeah, basically
it's got the guy who did the art for the Scott Pilgrim Saves the World Xbox Live arcade game and all those.
Oh right, of course I know what
all those crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that indie game. Right.
It's like Rob or Roy or Ron.
No, the name of it, they have a company that the cool logo. Anyway. So yeah, thanks for listening. Until then, check us out, and I'm just looking around deciding who is going to take us out. Tom, why don't you do the honors?
See. Oh wait, congratulations, this podcast is happy end. Thank you.
First off, your logo has to be just as impactful in black and white. You have to start there. If your logo is not powerful black and white, then there's a problem. If your logo isn't powerful very, very small, then there's a problem. If your logo collapses when you blow it up really, really big, then there's a problem. If your logo can't transform itself to other things and you still know what that logo is, then there's a problem. So your logo should be able to have all those things in the new world where, you know, it's symbolic, has some type of meaning that represents your brands and companies. I don't even like use the word brand. Your companies, if the logo doesn't represent the company's objective on a symbolic level, right? Because you have to think of what India is going to do to the world. We know what Silicon Valley did to the world. We know what China does for the world. But what India is going to do for the world is they're going to create this symbolic language, because India is unique, because they speak English, but they have a different alphabet. So they're going to add a whole new type of visual connecting language to the planet, you know, and symbology and logos are going to play a big role on that. Understanding something just by looking at a logo or different symbols, a new language, a new type of font will emerge, an understanding of symbols.